about.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the live edition of Let's Paint, Exercise, and Let's Make Blended Drinks tonight, and we're taking your calls. All these wonderful things that we can do all at the same time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Imagine, Mr. Speaker, a world without balloons. How can we make sure that the injustice of there being no helium for comedians to get that high-pitched voice that we all hold near and dear to our hearts? Imagine a world without balloons.
I've got no patience with it. I will not tolerate it.
Oh, my God, I cannot stand that affected butt plug.
Oh, you betcha.
Thank God it's Friday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm so not a raper.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you live in America?
Roll another one.
Don't freaking be like that, okay?
Just like the other one.
Thick, meaty, juicy.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
How's there not been a made for TV movie about your struggles?
Roll another one.
Yeah, booty might be burning.
Just like the other one.
God bless you for being honest.
This one seems to be about
don't chase me, bro.
I don't have another cent.
Boogers not.
Oh my God, really?
Just pass it around.
Holy masquerade.
Now. Hey guys, I smashed one of my balls in the refrigerator door.
Our feature presentation.
That is not the way to start.
Does that happen to you guys?
I don't
sometimes?
Know how it got there. Like I don't think I'm close enough to the door of the fridge
to actually
for that to ever happen.
Unless you, I don't know, swinging away.
And why would
something,
I be doing that?
I don't know. And naked.
I mean, and naked. I mean, I could get hit by the door, sure.
Yeah.
But he said he.
He got caught. Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds to me like there's a lot of information we don't have on that story. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 12th of September.
Mm-hmm.
We start in China. Suspected drunk trespasser jumps out a fifth-story window to prove he's Superman.
Oh, no.
The dude in China allegedly got drunk, broke into what turned out to be the bedroom of a 10-year-old girl. He was not aware of that, of course. She said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, and the first thing that came to his mind is, I'm Superman. I don't know how that's the first thing that came to his mind, but it was. So he told her that, and she said, look, I'll be quiet. If you're Superman, you prove it. If you're not, I'm going to scream, and I'm going to get the authorities.
Wow, look at her bargaining with Superman.
So Superman jumped out the window.
Well, that couldn't have gone well.
Five stories up.
Yeah.
Landed, bruised, and broke pretty much everything. Still alive, still fine.
Well, that's amazing.
But tried to prove to her that he was Superman by jumping out the window.
So broken and arrested.
Yeah, both. Yeah. First, they take – that's not a good combo when they take you to the hospital and then the authorities take you to jail.
You know what? Those bones aren't going to heal right in jail, I can tell you right now.
That's true.
Things aren't going to go that well.
And more may be broken.
Right.
So that's maybe not the way to go.
All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have comedian Bill Burr in the studio. Very excited about that.
He's the best.
One of the best comedians working today. We have DJ Qualls on the show today talking about his new TV show. Can't wait to hear about that. I love DJ Qualls.
Yeah.
RJ Bell from pregame.com is going to give you some picks for the NFL for this weekend.
Oh, I've been waiting all week for that.
Shut up. brand new game, Who's the Dick, on the program. We have the movie beat because it's Friday, and we're going to tell you a little bit more about Mike Tyson. I don't know if you saw this, but he was being interviewed, and the interviewer was dumb enough to bring up the convicted rape charge.
And all Mike wants to talk about is this show, this Broadway show.
Yeah. Look, it may have been a valid question, but I've stood in front of Mike Tyson. That's not a question you ask for your own safety. And it didn't go well, and Mike started screaming at him. And, I mean, it really that Mike Tyson that used to destroy people in the ring didn't go away entirely. It's still there.
I thought he was completely reformed.
Yeah, it's not like you could turn off a light switch and it's gone. It's there. It may be under the surface a little bit more. But my suggestion is, having talked to the guy, maybe don't poke a beehive. Maybe don't get in there and really say things like that.
Stir it up.
For your own safety.
Right.
I talked to him at Comic-Con this past year.
Oh.
Yes, Mike Tyson. And,
oh, my God.
And he freaked out then.
He did?
Yes.
What did you do?
I'll tell you about that in the 6 o'clock hour. I went into the fetal position on the floor and just said, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me. So that's coming up this morning. We will take a quick break. We'll come back with a showbiz beat. That is next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. Coming up just after the top of the hour. I don't know if you heard yesterday, but there is a Kickstarter that's very, very important. And it is about Samurai Cop 2.
The most important thing in the world, probably.
Which I believe Ralph has donated to and will be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting is that?
Should they fully fund.
Right, which I think it's relatively close.
We got 10 days and it's like still 10 grand left to raise. So I don't know. Let's get on it, people.
Okay.
Ralph may cover that himself.
I'm going to have a bake sale or something.
Yeah, I also have the movie beat coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat for a Friday morning.
This is pretty exciting news. Kanye West is in the hospital.
Really?
Well, he was. Anyway, he's out and fine, apparently. I think teases. He's big celebrity teases. He's on tour in Australia, and he was rushed to an emergency room on Wednesday in Melbourne. Doctors say it was a headache.
He was rushed to the hospital with a headache?
Well, in his defense, it was a migraine, and they blow. But
migraines can be that bad, yeah.
Yeah, but still.
But still.
It's a headache.
Yeah.
You know what you do when you have a migraine? You have to lay in a quiet, dark room and take your medicine, and then
sometimes that doesn't help.
Well, then they should drill a hole in his head and let the demons out.
I have a family member that I don't want to name, but they have migraines, and it's go to the hospital bad.
Then they have a shot or something they can give you.
Yeah, they give you a shot, and I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what they do for it. There's a lot of different medicines, but most of them don't work.
Mm-hmm.
They should drill a hole in your head and let the demons out.
Lobotomy.
That's what they used to do.
Yeah, I think in 1910.
Well, actually, I think it was like in the Egyptian 1810? Times or something.
1710?
Oh. Yeah. They would let the evil demons out of your head by drilling a hole in your skull.
Yeah, I don't think that's the common wisdom anymore.
Oh, okay. Dr. Kevin, where's your medical degree?
I'm just saying.
I think for Kanye West, that might be the answer.
Okay, I'm with you with that.
All right. Speaking of celebrities and physical anomalies, Mila Kunis.
Yes.
Has said she is very happy that she's pregnant. Of course, there are some downsides. There's the swollen ankles and the no sleep and the heartburn. But she also told Marie Claire magazine that her bra size has grown from 34A to 36C.
That'd be all right.
She says she invites everyone to touch them. She's so excited.
I'm sorry?
She says she invites people to touch them all the time. She's so excited about the growth in her boobs.
And where is she right now?
I don't know, but we got to find her.
I like boobs. Big boobs.
Then apparently we have to drill a hole in them to let the evil demons out.
I don't think that's the case.
That's what happens.
Boobs either. Nope.
Jimmy Fallon scored a big coup. He's having Barbara Streisand on as his only guest on The Tonight Show this coming Monday.
Really? That's
the reason
huge.
It's a big deal is she is last time she appeared on a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
She's done interviews like Barbara Walters and stuff. She sat down for taped interviews. The last time she showed up on a talk show physically, sat on the panel and performed, 1963.
Really?
Wow.
With Johnny Carson.
It's been that long. Why is she doing it?
Last time she's done a guest show appearance. She's using it to plug her new album, which will be out in stores the next day. So she's doing it as a promotional appearance, but it's her first late-night talk show appearance in more than 50 years.
Is that tonight?
It is Monday night. Monday, Lisa, this coming Monday night, Jimmy Fallon has scored that.
Am I bad because I don't want to watch that 1%?
Am I bad because I only want to watch that?
No, I mean, it's not for everyone, Kevin, but look, Barbara Streisand's been a big star for a long, long time, and a lot of people may not care, but it's kind of historic television if she hasn't done it in 50 years.
Sure.
It's worth mentioning. Also worth mentioning is the passing of Bob Crewe. He was a member of a band called the Four Seasons back in the day. He's best known for co-writing and producing all of the hits for Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. If you ever saw the film or musical Jersey Boys, you know about Bob Crewe. He was responsible for songs like Sherry and Big Girls Don't Cry and Walk Like a Man and Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. And there was a big hit for those guys, that he was the writer-producer of it. Interesting life, too, because he was a homosexual in a time when that was just not cool in the music industry. So he had to hide his true self for the better part of his career. Then in 2009, he launched the Bob Crewe Foundation, which was a charitable organization to support AIDS research and the rights for the LGBT community, which was very cool. He passed away this week at the age of 82.
Ralph, you're not upset by this, are you? Or are you?
I am not really.
Okay.
No. I was never a big Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
He's going to go to Death Judge, but
yeah,
see if that was okay. But
I'm sure there are people who are.
Yes, yeah, sure.
That Dave would be angry.
They'll have
about.
To check with Dave themselves, though. We don't have time.
But as a tribute, I would like to sing the song Sherry by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Absolutely not.
In its entirety.
Absolutely not.
Sherry!
Nope.
Nope.
Sherry, baby! Sherry!
Nope.
Can you come out tonight?
Nope. Don't need that. Do not need that.
No. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
No way!
Joey Pants. Joey Pantoliano, he is 63 years old today. Rush drummer Neil Peart.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Now it's time for the good part. 62 years old today. Composer Hans Zimmer is 57. Louis C.K., comedian? He's 47 years old today. Two Chains. He's 37 today. Oh, I hope he gets another chain for his birthday. Three chains.
I'm not sure that's how it works.
Ben McKenzie, Commissioner Gordon from Gotham City itself, celebrates his 36th birthday. Jennifer Hudson is 33. Emmy Rossum is 28. Alfie Allen, who, of course, is Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones. But more importantly, he is the brother of Lily Allen.
Oh,
did you know that?
I did not know that.
Famous siblings. He's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up this morning, we're going to talk about Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lost it in an interview.
Yeah.
A little scary. We have a new game called Who's the Dick? We have RJ Bell.
Pure Mug? Can I guess right now, Pure Mug?
Well, I don't think he's one of the options, but that's probably a pretty good guess.
Bean?
Second guess, yeah.
I guess Bean.
Comedian Bill Burr. Get the music up. The music.
What's happening over
Get
there?
The music
He's
up.
Like
it's
melting.
Up. He's trying to find the intro for a movie beat. It's not there, so let's just do this. And now it's time for Ralph Garman in the movie beat.
It's Friday. Woo!
How long was he looking for that?
We've been using the same intro for I don't know, 15 years.
Yeah.
But suddenly it's not there anymore.
Well, I'm guessing it is.
All right.
I'm guessing the fellow to my right just couldn't find it.
Let's take a look at the movies that are coming out this weekend in Southland Cineplex. There's a lot of smaller films.
Yes.
A lot of films in limited release. It doesn't mean they're not good. There's a lot of stuff out there I think you might want to check out. How about No Good Deed, for example? Taraji P. Henson stars in this film about a devoted wife and mother of two who's living a beautiful suburban life in Atlanta when Colin, a charming man, Idris Elba, shows up. He says, I'm having some car trouble. Can I use your phone?
Uh-oh.
Don't let him in!
Do not let him in.
No Good Deed... ... goes unpunished, right?
... Or no.
Here's some clips from the trailer of No Good Deed.
There's violence in this man. Your parole is denied.
Guess somebody needs to use the phone.
What? Put her down!
Please.
I would have thought of all those brains you've got. He would have figured out the game you're playing by now.
You've reached 911.
Hell yes. There's an intruder in my house.
Also opening up in limited release this weekend, the charming and very funny Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader team up in a new film called The Skeleton Twins.
She's one of those people I'll watch in anything.
This is the one.
Bill Hader's great,
too. That's the one you're excited
about?
Yeah,
I'm excited.
And this looks great. They play twins who have been estranged, but by a weird series of circumstances, they both cheat death on the same day, and that causes them to reunite, and they realize if they want to fix their lives, they pretty much have to fix their relationship. Here are some clips from the trailer of The Skeleton Twins.
Have you read Marley and Me?
Yeah. Sad.
Why is it sad?
You don't know what happens?
No, that's why I'm reading it.
What,
does the dog die at the end?
No, I'm not saying anything.
Look how much I had left.
We're trying to get pregnant.
That's great.
Yep. And you say we are because it's not sexist that way, right? That's what you told me.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be the creepy gay uncle.
You're hired.
You're his brother. We're supposed to be there for each other.
I get depressed about my life.
So you're not a famous actor? I got news for you. No one's a famous actor.
George Clooney is a famous actor.
Okay, George Clooney, I guess that's one exception.
These guys are funny. This movie looks great.
Love them both.
Getting great critical attention as well. The Drop opens up this weekend. That here, Kevin, is for you. Loud.
What is it?
Shoot, bang,
all right.
Explosions, noisy.
Not aware of it. What is it?
It's Tom Hardy and James Gandolfini.
Okay.
Two guys who play the owners of a bar that's used as a drop for mob money. The bar gets robbed, and the mob is unhappy with them about that. They're stuck between the criminals who robbed them and the mob that wants to know where their money is. Looks amazing. And Naomi Rapace also stars in this film. As I mentioned, James Gandolfini, one of his final roles. Tom Hardy looks amazing in this. Here is a scene from the movie where Gandolfini tells Tom Hardy that at one time in the neighborhood, he was respected.
I was respected. I was feared. When I walked into a place people sat up, they noticed. What'd you ever have? A bar stool that you put that old biddy at. And bought her free drinks, and don't think I don't know that you did it on purpose. That was my stool, and nobody sat on that stool because it was Cousin Marv's stool. And that meant something. That meant something.
But it didn't. Ever. It was just a stool.
Great actors.
Yeah.
I'm scared of both of them.
In an old school New York crime drama, one of my favorite genres. Looking forward to it. It loses something when you're playing the upbeat show business music underneath that scene. Maybe we can bring down that music down. As we play.
I usually
some of the
do
clips.
If there's no music on the clip, but if
there's a little there's drama there,
all
it's
right.
Like, yeah, back in the day. Ba da 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 da. Gonna lose
you
the drama.
You don't think that adds to it?
Not really.
All right.
Here's clips from another movie called My Old Lady, a comedy starring Kevin Klein, one of my favorites, Kristen Scott Thomas, Maggie Smith. An American inherits an apartment in Paris only to find out that it comes with an unexpected resident, a 90-year-old woman who has the rights to live there till she dies. He's desperate to sell the apartment, and he can't wait for her to die. It looks very funny. Here's some clips from the trailer of My Old Lady.
My name is Matthias Gold. My parents were wealthy. I was born with a silver knife in my back.
I inherited this apartment from my father.
This apartment is a Vierge. The buyer must pay a fee until the seller dies.
Until you die?
Take a walk by the Seine. Please don't jump in. Probably fail to drown yourself and just end up with a dreadful cold.
Do you have anything for a headache?
Great cast. Looks very funny. The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain, Bill Hader, Viola Davis. Is the story of a couple as they try to reclaim the life they once knew and pick up the pieces of their past. Here are some clips from the trailer.
Hey, Rigby.
There's only one heart in this body. Have mercy on me.
Everyone starts out thinking this is forever. Then things get hard.
I can't do this anymore.
She's vanished. Maybe she wants you to go after her.
No, she doesn't.
I need to try some other version of myself. We'll never get to where we were.
Where was that?
Someplace good.
That sounds funny.
It sounds like a downer, man. But that Jessica Chastain.
She's really
she is
good.
Great.
Yeah.
And lastly, Dolphin Tale 2.
Woo!
Finally, the sequel to the story about that dolphin who got a fake tail.
Yeah.
Now he gets a fake penis.
What?
No, I don't know. I don't know what this movie's about. What could it possibly be about? It's a dolphin. They already fixed his tail. What else is there to do with this dolphin? Why is there a second movie about this dolphin? Why?
I have the answer to that. I don't know.
Morgan Freeman, Ashley Judd star in the film about the team of people who saved Winter, the dolphin's life. And now they have to, I don't know, do something else with a freaking dolphin. Here's Morgan Freeman in a scene asking if the dolphin ever comes out.
Do you like what you see?
No, that's not.
I love what I see.
Come on.
Would you like to touch what you see?
That's Morgan Freeman. Yes. Morgan Freeman.
Yes, I would.
Morgan Freeman was that.
Would you like to go out with me?
No.
He would.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yes, I would.
That's not Ashley Judd.
Would you like to me?
Hey, come on.
Bingo.
Bingo. Samurai Cop.
That wasn't it?
Here's Dolphin Tale 2.
Did you ever come out?
Not much. Not since Panama died. It's hard to even coax her out to eat.
You ever try bacon? What's with my cat?
Maybe the dolphin will like some bacon.
Okay.
It's a depressed dolphin.
All right.
The movie's about finding the dolphin a new friend.
Yeah, somebody's going to tell me about that one.
Someone made that movie.
Yeah, that got
made. It, and they're showing it in the theater this weekend.
In theaters?
They're going to put it up on a big screen. Morgan Freeman said, I think we should feed the dolphin bacon. That's going to happen. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
I don't know if you saw this video of Mike Tyson.
No,
being interviewed. He may have lost it a bit. There was an interviewer that asked him a question about his rape charge and conviction.
And he was there to talk about a show, right?
In jail time. Yeah, he was there to talk about his show. Yeah. And we've talked to Mike Tyson a bunch of different times.
Yep.
A couple times on the phone, a couple times in person. And you never get the feeling that you're entirely safe. And if Mike Tyson loses it, you dead.
He really could do some damage with just one blow, right?
Easily. And for me personally, I never forget that.
Yeah.
He seems like he's completely rehabbed. He's got everything under control. He's got a new life. He's doing his one-man show. Everything's great. He left all the violence behind. But it's still there. We interviewed him at Comic-Con. This past July, we interviewed him at Comic-Con. He's got a new cartoon coming out later on this fall. And there were about 50 people that were there in a conference room, a line, and he was supposed to go all the way down the line. And I was second, and the first guy interviewed him, and then I started interviewing him. And when I did that, a guy that looked homeless walked in, barged in, handed our cameraman, Carlos, a script and said, give this to Mike. And Mike lost it. Are you that mother effer skateboarding? What are you doing here, mother effer?
Oh, my God.
And I was standing right in front of Mike Tyson. And when you see that, you go, I'm the next Evander Holyfield. I hope it's only my year.
Jeez.
Literally scared to death. And there are 48 other people that were going to interview him. They took him out.
Really?
They took Mike out. So this interviewer is talking to him. Mike just wants to talk about his show. And this interviewer is dumb enough to bring up the rape conviction.
Some of your critics would say, you know, there's a race for mayor. We know you're a convicted rapist. This can hurt his campaign. How would you respond to that?
Hey, I don't know who said that. You're the only one I heard say that. You know what I mean? And I don't have no comment to that. I met the mayor,
right.
And nothing they can do about it.
We actually had a really good time. Highs and lows.
So interesting, but you come across like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of
Hey,
that comment. I don't know the piece of you're that piece of
You know, we're doing live TV.
Hey, I don't care. What are you going to do about it?
All right, we're gonna wrap up this interview. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, it was, you're a piece of S. We're on the air. I don't care. What are you going to do about it? At that point, there's no answer. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. That's what you're going to do.
Just going to turn off the mics.
So we got Mike on the phone this morning just to check in and make sure everything's cool. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Captain Bean. How are you guys?
We're good. I hope you're good. We're big fans.
I'm big fans of you guys as well.
Excellent.
I heard you won a Marconi.
That happened.
That's amazing. I've always wanted one of those.
How is it possible that happened?
Do they listen to the show?
Yeah, that's maybe the only thing.
No, Marconi is great. He's invented radio.
Right.
I learned that in a book.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Did you hear the clip we were just playing in the interview where you yelled at that guy?
Yeah, that was a reporter in Toronto.
Yeah.
Which is in another country.
It's in Canada, yeah.
Yeah.
He was talking about you meeting Rob Ford.
I talked about meeting the mayor of Toronto, Canada.
Right.
Rob Ford,
right.
And there's an election coming up, and he thought maybe I would be bad for the mayor's election.
Well, I mean, I think that's a relevant question, although I might phrase it with all of your past. I don't know that I would single out the rape conviction, although it is important.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
Well, I'm saying he did. He brought that up.
No, we're just talking about what happened.
The reporter brought that up.
You're a real piece of ass.
No.
No, he's not. We're not bringing
it. Yeah, you are.
Up.
No. I thought you were a good guy, but then you say that thing.
No, the reporter in Toronto said that thing.
I can't believe you said that. You're a real piece of...
I didn't say that.
No, okay. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing really. I just hope that I don't die.
Well, you're lucky because we're on the phone.
Okay.
If we were there in person, I would stuff a pigeon down your throat.
Oh, I thought you loved pigeons.
I do. I don't love you, though.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I said it once. I said it 1,000 times. Don't get anybody's name tattooed on your body. Just don't do it. We're in love forever. It's going to be forever. Stop it. Don't do that.
You can believe that, but don't put a tattoo on saying anything like that.
According to In Touch magazine, it's going to take longer for Nick Cannon to get rid of his wife, Mariah, than he thought, because now he's got to get her name removed from his back in a giant tattoo.
I was going to say, if it's his back, it must be big.
That will take about a year of lasering to totally remove.
Wow.
A year-long laser process to remove the tattoo.
Nice job, dumbass.
The divorce will be settled quicker than that too will be removed. And at least it's painful.
Yeah.
And a hideous procedure.
At least it hurts every time they do it.
But one couple that will be married forever, George Clooney and Amal Alamuddin. In fact, they may already be married.
Is that right?
Yeah. Big F you to all the reporters and press out there. They may have already been married in a quiet civil ceremony in London, Us Weekly is reporting.
I love it when celebrities just go into the just go underground and do it. No one knows.
Yeah.
They may have used a little misdirection because there is a big party and celebration scheduled to take place in Venice, Italy, the weekend of September the 27th. A lot of people were thinking that would be the date of the marriage as well, but they may have already been married, according to Us Weekly. So I hope that's the case. So their special day can be special.
Plus, we won't have to hear about it for a year and a half every day.
Yeah. Jessica Alba did an interview recently with Meredith Vieira on her daytime talk show.
Did you see her on Sin City 2?
I haven't seen Sin City 2, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's attractive.
Yeah.
She said on the daytime talk show that she's always felt insecure, especially in her teens and 20s. Shut up. Jessica Alba.
Try looking like us and being in your teens and 20s.
You want to be insecure? Fine.
I'll trade with you.
Walk a while in my jockey shorts, lady. You have a mirror, right? You own a mirror of some kind, I assume? Some sort of reflective surface in your home you could have looked at during your teens and 20s and said, I'm insecure. Oh, wait a minute. Look at me. I feel better now. Jessica Alba. Alba.
Why I oughta.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants, he's 63 years old today. Hans Zimmer, legendary composer, 57 years old today. Louis C.K., he's 47. 2 Chainz, 37 years old today. Benjamin McKenzie, God, I miss Southland.
Yeah.
But I get a little Ben McKenzie each and every week coming up with Gotham. I'm very excited about that show. He is 36 years old today. Jennifer Hudson's 33. Emmy Rossum is 28. Alfie Allen from Game of Thrones, also brother to the lovely and talented Lily Allen. He is 28 years old. And Neil Peart, legendary drummer for the band Rush.
I got to tell you, Ralph air drums that. And it looks
crap out of that.
It looks like you're actually playing it.
I know, man. It's uncanny.
It's pretty strong.
He's 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Finger snaps by Ralph Garman.
Thank you.
Milky Chance is the name of that. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes after 7 o'clock. One thing everybody can agree on is that if you play for the Philadelphia Eagles, you're pretty much a dick.
I will tear this mother down.
Right? I mean, is that that's where
you
we're starting?
Start? You want to start? Let's do it. You want to go? Let's go.
I'm saying that's where we start, right?
No, you're wrong. Well, LeSean McCoy, shady to his friends, is a sweetheart by all accounts. From all my contacts back in my hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, good guy, nice man, contributes to the community, clean guy, lives his life well. friends say, generous to a fault.
All right. I have a news report, and this is a story that just came up when? Just yesterday?
This week. Yeah, it's been in the news about the LeSean McCoy running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. He ran into a little trouble in one of the local restaurants in Philadelphia, and they made a big hullabaloo about it.
Philadelphia Eagles running back LeSean McCoy may be able to juke the NFL's best defensive players, but his elusive prowess isn't just limited to a football field. McCoy dined at the PYT restaurant in Philadelphia on Monday and racked up a modest bill of $61.56. His tip? A paltry 20 cents. The restaurant took to Facebook to call out McCoy, posting the bill and his 0.03% tip. The 20-cent tip that the Eagles' LeSean McCoy just left our server on his $60 check is going to come in really handy for that new official NFL McCoy jersey he had his heart set on. The message posted to PYT's Facebook page reads, "This is a 0.03% tip. New record." Rob Nelly, McCoy's server, told NJ.com that McCoy and his friends were an unruly, disrespectful bunch.
See?
As soon as they sat down, they were pretty rude. I asked them questions. They weren't really responsive. They were cursing, making derogatory comments. I put their order in and forgot one of their appetizers, which I apologized for. They ordered things and once they got it, said, "We ain't eating this. We don't want it." The owner of PYT then took blame for making the receipt public in another Facebook post, but stood by his decision 100%. When reached for comment by a reporter for the Philadelphia Daily News, McCoy said, "It's bull****," but declined to elaborate. It's still not clear what led to the small tip, but posting the receipt on social media has backfired big time. Many Facebook users are criticizing the restaurant for posting the receipt, pointing out the establishment's awful Yelp reviews and calling the move unprofessional.
Unprofessional. So we have a new game for you today, and it's called Who's the Dick?
Beer mug?
Hey.
I mean, of
he's
the
not actually in this
story. I'm confused. Yeah. I don't understand how this game is played.
This story. Okay, so he leaves a 20-cent tip, and yes. I'm sure there's a lot of waiters and waitresses out there that know the feeling of that.
Well, yes. And you know, first hearing the story, I thought I don't care if that. I think what the owner did was fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
And I also know, working at various restaurants, that the server doesn't always have much to do with the quality of the food.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was the problem, that's not really the server's fault,
mm-hmm.
and she shouldn't be penalized for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he did get good service and he was an asshole and then he left that tip, I don't really have a problem with it.
All right. But
you don't have a problem with the owner
calling him out,
publicizing it and posting it on Facebook and Instagram.
But what if he wasn't being a dick? What if he had horrible service?
Well,
if he had horrible service, that's a different story.
McCoy has since amended his original statement about the check, saying he did it on purpose. He said it was a statement.
It has to be.
He wrote
20
cents. Instead of 20%,
right?
The server got 20 cents.
That's worse than nothing, right?
Right.
I mean, basically.
Yeah. And he said, "I knew what I was doing. I put it on my credit card with my name out there. I wanted him to know that who I was and what I thought of his service, and it was definitely a statement."
But he plays for the Eagles, right?
Yes, he does.
Okay. So you got that strike. One strike.
So he knew this was going to get out.
What is your problem, man? You're malfunctioning. You want to go? Let's go.
I don't really want to go.
Let's go.
I don't really want to go. All right, so who's the dick?
Yes, Eagles. Listen. Listen. Shady McCoy has a right to...
Who's the dick?
...do a complaint with his wallet regarding his service, if that's how he feels. Again, Philly's my hometown. I have friends and relatives who still live back there, many of them in the service industry, and they say that Shady is known for being a completely generous tipper in most situations. I don't know what is unique about the situation that led to this,
right?
But this is not ordinary behavior for the guy.
If you believe the waiter, and who knows who's telling the truth.
Yeah, that is the problem.
They were unruly. They were rude. They didn't need anything.
Right.
He forgot something and apologized. They didn't accept it, that kind of stuff. So who knows exactly what went on.
But then if you read the Yelp reviews for this restaurant, there have been people complained about the service there before, and they said they didn't have good experiences as well. So
they didn't have good experiences because it's in Philadelphia.
Shut up, man. I will drop you.
Who's the dick?
You are, apparently, it's turning out.
So we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067.
But I want to say I think the guy's out of line. I think the owner of the restaurant is out of line for publicly trying to shame Shady McCoy, saying, oh, he's a bad guy. Oh, they didn't buy that jersey he was going to buy because we're big fans or anything. Look, sometimes people stiff the wait staff, sometimes for a reason.
Right.
And that's the nature of the beast in the service industry, and that's the nature of the beast in the restaurant business. And I think it's bad form, especially if you're the owner of a joint in Philadelphia. You think other people are going to want to come to that place?
Yeah, that's true.
With that kind of behavior? Sometimes you just have to suck it up. And to bitch and moan publicly about it, I think makes you look petty and small.
What if it was Justin Bieber, though, that showed up and he did it? I'd fly there to go to that restaurant.
Well, Bieber's a dick.
Right.
And has a history of dickishness.
What if the guy was a dick?
Bieber has a history of being a dick on several, multiple levels.
Do we know anything about this restaurant? Do we know anything about that restaurant?
It's named after a bad Michael Jackson song. I know that much.
PYT.
Pretty Young Things.
Why would you call your restaurant that, first of all?
Maybe there's a lot of Pretty Young Things working there. I don't know. Maybe it's like a Hooters for ass men.
All right, so the question is, and we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Who's the dick? That's the question.
I'll sell it. Will you please?
Right. Who's the dick?
There we go. Now that's a game I want to play.
All right. So was it LaShawn? From what we know, it's hard. You know, you're just guessing just like we are. But all right, let me just put this out there. If he got great service and put a 20-cent tip, is it still bad form for the owner? He got great service, but he put 20 cents on his tip. Now is the owner a dick for putting that on Facebook, or is it just?
Well, the owner says, I got to stand by my people or whatever. You know what? If you want to stand by your people, then give. If it was great service,
right,
and the guy got stiffed, then reach into your pocket and pull out whatever 20% of that $60 check would be, which is what, $12? And, yep. And give $12 to the waiter and say, you know what? This wasn't on you. It wasn't your bad. Here's 12 bucks. Go have it. Go get yourself one drink.
Is doing that well?
No. And so, but no, he didn't do that. The owner didn't do that.
Right.
He went public with it to try to publicly shame a sports professional in that
city. So my question to you is, if it was great service and he left 20 cents, is it more acceptable that the owner went on Facebook?
No, I'm saying I think that's
either
a
way.
Crappy move.
Either way.
Yeah. I mean, if the waiter had done it, I could see him being sort of personally bitchy and pissy about it.
If the waiter had got on Facebook?
Yeah, if he had posted that thing. And sometimes that happens. You know,
right.
They'll do that. But for the owner of the restaurant to do it, I think it's particularly dickish.
The owner
of PYT, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's take your calls. Jason is in Newport Beach. Hi, Jason. Hello, Jason.
Jason? Good morning.
We are good.
Hi there.
We're playing Who's the Dick?
Who's the Dick, Jason?
Other than Beer Mug, the restaurant owner... The restaurant owner is definitely a dick. Completely unnecessary for him to do that.
Why do you feel that way?
I work in the service industry, nightclubs and bars down here in Newport.
Right.
And again, tip is still considered extra credit. If, you know, you're getting paid an hourly, it's obviously a low hourly, but still, if you give good service, you get a good tip. If you give bad service, no tips needed.
I feel like a lot of waiters and waitresses these days, because they don't get paid much, I feel like they think they deserve 15%, and I sort of agree with
that. That's how restaurants justify paying them nothing, because they say you're going to basically live on your tips.
That's
so
the standard.
There
yes.
is an expectation of a tip.
Yeah, there is, and again, I agree that, you know, occasionally people just give bad tips because they're cheap people. But yeah, the owner posting that, especially seeing that it was, you know, pro athlete, completely unnecessary.
The owner of that guy?
Yes, the owner of PYT.
Yeah, all right.
There you go, Jason. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. All right, so the owner.
Here's the thing. And I was a waiter.
The owner is the dick.
I was a waiter for a long time, but waiter and bartender for many years. And here's the thing. Yes, sometimes you get screwed. But, you know, a lot of times you get well over 15%, too. And
agreed.
I never felt the obligation to give that money back to people. It's like, no, that's too
much.
That's
too much.
No, can't give me 25% of a tip. That's unacceptable. I should only be getting 15%. So I think it all evens out in the long run. Sometimes you just have to chalk it up to bad experiences and move on with your life. You just don't start posting stuff on social media saying, I didn't get enough money. Screw you.
But, you know, celebrities get kudos, too, when they do tip a lot of money. That shows up in social media as well.
Sure.
And that's,
yeah.
that's a feather
people,
in their cap.
People do pay extra attention, if you're a celebrity, to what you're tipping.
Why shouldn't it work both ways?
Allie is in Tarzana. Hi.
Yeah, LaShawn McCoy's a dick. I'm sorry, sorry, Ralph.
Yeah, what are you, a Cowboys fan?
No, absolutely not. I'm a Raiders fan. Go Raiders.
Go Raiders.
Okay, why is LaShawn the
Raiders.
One that... Why is LaShawn the dick?
Well, I mean, okay, obviously the server made a mistake of forgetting the appetizer, yeah, but, I mean, would any of you guys go to a restaurant and leave a 20-cent tip because the guy forgot an appetizer?
No, of course not.
I don't think
most people would, so it must – I mean, there is the possibility that the waiter was terrible. I mean, that's possible.
Yeah, and the owner has the responsibility of having the backup of the servers, especially when he feels like the server gets...
But Ralph says the owner could do that just by tipping him rather than going on Facebook,
just
right?
Just by giving him the cash. I bet the guy would rather have the cash than have his receipt on Facebook.
That's true. At the same time, you know, maybe LaShawn, you know, they were treating the server a little disrespectful and they felt the need to go on social media and do it. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, you don't know. Good. That's great. So we've got a no and I don't know. 1-800-520-1067.
Who's the dick? That's what we want to know.
Do you want the reverb? I can use
it. Yeah, sure. Can I?
Who's the dick? I'll talk to you next. Philadelphia Eagle, LaShawn, what's his name?
McCoy.
Jackson.
Shady McCoy.
Shady McCoy. Went to a restaurant called and apparently they serve burgers there. He said he got terrible service. He left 20 cents for the tip.
Yep.
The owner took a picture of it, put it on Facebook, and tried to publicly shame him.
Yes.
So we're asking, who's the dick? Is it LaShawn? Or is it the owner? Or is it both?
It could be some degree of dickishness on both ends, but I think one is more of a dick than the other. I think the owner's a bigger dick.
You think the owner is because we don't know exactly how the service was, and even if it was bad, it's sort of on him?
Yeah, I think it's just the nature of the beast, and if you own a business... You have also an obligation to not embarrass your customers.
Yeah, true.
It wasn't like he did something untoward. He didn't pee in a bucket in the kitchen. Well, he didn't pull a Bieber.
Like Bieber?
He just exercised his right to show his displeasure with the service with his tipping. And I think for an owner of an establishment then to publicly mock someone in a city where this guy has to work in front of the public is a dick move.
All right, let's go to Courtney in Long Beach. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
We are good. We're talking about the restaurant...
In Philadelphia. What's up, Court?
I personally think that the restaurant owner is the dick, and I think that he should be telling his employee that if he doesn't like how much tip he got, go get another job.
Oh, snap!
Whoa!
No one's forcing him to stay at that job and make no money. Guess what? Grow up, grow some you-know-what, and get a new job, and stop complaining to everybody. I don't understand why he thinks it's the responsibility of this guy to pay him. Go get another job if you're not happy with how much you got from him.
I do not want to work for Courtney.
I don't either.
No.
That's for sure.
Have you ever been a waitress, Courtney?
I have never been, but my mother is a hairdresser, and she tells me all the time about how important tips are and things like that. And when I talk to her, I say, okay, I completely understand. But if you don't feel like you're getting enough money via tips, why don't you change your career?
Get a new job, Mom! That's what you say to her.
Then leave and go somewhere else. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Courtney. All right, so that's a server.
Listen, servers bitch about tips all the time. I know I always did when I was working with it. You applaud and you celebrate the big ones, and you bitch and moan about the little ones.
Do they even out or no?
I think they do over a career. Absolutely even out. You probably come out a little bit ahead.
Having said that, I have once or twice in my life not tipped because the service was so horrible. Yeah. Most of the time, I tip 15%. If they're good, I tip 25%. I feel like that person is serving me, and this is all wrong. I should have to go get my own food.
Well, it's easy because they just bring mac and cheese and some chicken tenders off the kids' menu. Right. That's not a big deal. Your meals are usually delivered in a box through a window of a car.
But you and I can get away with that because we're not celebrities. This guy plays for the Philadelphia Eagles.
So he should tip big just because he's a Philadelphia Eagle.
He should be aware that people are going to know who he is and what he tips, and it will make an impact.
Well, I don't think he was unaware of that. Look,
I don't feel bad for him because I don't think he cares. I think he's fine.
He wanted.
Because he has a good reputation, and it's not a big deal either way.
Doesn't make what the owner did not dickish, though.
Well, if he did this as a rule, then I really don't think it's a bad
thing. All right, I'm confused about who's the dick. I don't know what we're...
Well, let's maybe some of our listeners
can straighten this out. Let's go to Thomas in Riverside. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Want to tell you I'm the first-time caller on your show.
Thank you.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
Now, I really wanted to say this should be a no-brainer. Does anybody in the office there know how much the football player earns in a year?
He earns $7 to $8 million a year on his contract.
Okay, 7 to 8, and he's been what for a few years now? He's been making that roughly.
Roughly,
but
yeah.
We're not okay. Go ahead.
Okay, let me just hear me out.
Go ahead. All right.
My point here is the restaurant owner or even the waitress at this point make nowhere near as much money as this guy does. I don't know how big this guy's restaurant is, but I'm willing to bet my jewels that he doesn't make as much as a football player. So with that being said, it should be very clear to everybody in America in a capitalist society that somebody who makes millions and millions of dollars typically should pay a higher percentage. In the 50s, the top 1% owners of this country were paying a 90% tax rate. Correct, guys? 90% tax, and they still had all their nice cars and
vacations. But Thomas,
so for him to tip 20 cents,
yeah,
on a 61.
But Thomas, let me just ask this: it's not about how much money he has.
It's not about redistribution of wealth here. It's about behavior.
It's about he feels like the service was bad enough that he wants to make a statement with his tip. Not that he can't afford it. He doesn't want to because the guy doesn't deserve it, or girl. I don't know who it was.
Here's what
my question. My question would be, why did he go to that restaurant? Why didn't he go to a Denny's? Why didn't he go to some other place?
Because has damn good burgers. Damn good burgers.
Named after a Michael Jackson song. What's wrong with you? Here's what the waiter said in a statement. So, I messed up their order and didn't return to check on them the entire time because they were kind of rude. They didn't know my name, so I didn't go back to them.
Well, that's not smart.
And then the owner says, McCoy received immaculate service. So somebody's lying.
All right. Thank you, Thomas, for the call and for calling for the first time. Danielle in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling. I vote that the owner is the dick.
The owner is the dick.
Why is that, Danielle?
Unless he publishes every receipt of every person that only gives a marginal tip, then why is he trying to shame this guy just because he's famous and he's a football player and he makes a lot of money? That doesn't negate the fact that he still deserves good service, and if he didn't get it, he doesn't have to pay the tip because they're not mandatory.
That's a good point, Daniel. Why is LaShawn being singled out simply because he's famous?
That's why he's being singled out, because nobody cares about anybody who's not famous.
Well, then this guy should put up a wall of cheapskates, and everybody who doesn't tip well enough should be shamed equally. If it's about being cheap, then it shouldn't everyone be treated that way, Lisa?
But nobody knows who they are, so it doesn't matter.
So nobody would care. Punish him
because he's a good running back. That's
yes,
what you want to do.
That's what I want to do.
Not in my America.
Danielle says it's the owner, and LaShawn has the right to not tip. I believe Carrie from Chino has an opposite view. Hello, Carrie.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Hi, Carrie.
I think McCoy's the dick.
McCoy's the dick.
Yeah. Why is that, Carrie? Are you a Dallas Cowboys fan?
No, I'm actually a Bronco fan.
All right. Good enough.
Let's just lie.
Well, because I used to be a server, and as a server, we give a service, and we have to tip out to the bartenders and the busboys and the hostess.
Right.
So if we don't get tipped, then we actually paid for that person to sit on that table.
Right.
And that's not right.
So it's an obligation for everybody that comes in to tip.
That is part of, if you want to go to a restaurant, then it is your duty to tip. If you don't feel like tipping, then you need to go to a fast food place where you can just grab your stuff and go.
Carrie,
sitting at a table. Go ahead.
What if you're in a terrible mood, you just got in a fight with somebody or whatever, you're angry, and you really do give them horrible service? They're obligated to tip?
I think that you at least need to give some money because you did sit at their table and did take up some of their time, because they do have to tip out.
Well, but you tip out on what you make. You don't tip out on what your total table charges are.
We had to tip out on the total bill.
Sometimes they do it off of sales, Lisa.
Oh,
yeah.
We didn't do it that way.
Yeah. It wasn't out of what we earned.
Yeah, but
it was
still,
out of total bill.
Look, I think LaShawn's the dick too, and yet I do think if you get horrible service, like if they never check back, then you shouldn't tip at least as much, for sure.
Right. Well, what I do is
I mean, that's the server's obligation.
Right, exactly. So what I would do would I would give at least 10% if they're horrible, and I would write a note, because they have to know why they got that, you know, and a little note saying, this is why you got this tip.
Hey, you weren't very good. Here's a dollar. Something like that.
Here's
for the other
page.
People.
Here's
20
cents. That's what he said. Here's 20 cents.
He needed to write a note or talk to the manager.
I think the message got through. I don't know if a note was necessary. I think he got the message.
Well,
but in a dickish way is what she's saying.
Look, I'm not saying he wasn't a dick. I'm not comfortable stiffing waitstaff. I don't do it personally.
Agreed.
10% is like my bottom line.
Agreed.
Worst case scenario.
Agreed.
I'm not saying what he did was great. I'm just saying the owner was a bigger dick for trying to publicly shame him.
We live in a world with social media, and we have to deal with that. And the owner has a right to put something on social media.
Yeah, he has a right. Absolutely.
It is.
We're not saying anyone did anything illegal here. We're just trying to gauge the dickishness.
We're just asking who's the dick.
Yeah.
Right. Well, right. McCoy's the dick.
McCoy. Mm-hmm. And the owner. I think we got pretty much half and half.
All I know is I'm not eating at PYT. Pretty young thing.
Both are dicks.
That's our answer?
But the owner a little bit more.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:42. It's also week number two of the NFL. Very exciting. And we have RJ Bell back on the program from pregame.com. RJ, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Excited to be here. And week two coming up. So a lot of big games.
RJ, before we get into the games upcoming this weekend, let's talk about the last game of week one last night, Ravens versus the Steelers. What's up with the Steelers?
Yeah, I'm a Steeler fan. I grew up in the area. I'm not impressed. I mean, if you actually look at them after the first half of the first game, so the last six quarters, Pittsburgh has been outscored 50-9. No touchdowns,
wow.
50 points against them. And I think it's a combination of things. And, you know, at the very core, if you can't stop the run in the NFL, it's hard to win the games.
Let me ask you another question along the same lines. And that is, it seems to me like any team in the NFL is good enough. There's always upsets. So any team in the NFL is pretty much good enough to beat any other team.
Which actually segues into one of the basic premises of smart sports betting, which is look towards the underdog. These are professionals, and what the average fan tends to do, the recreational bettor, is he bets the better team, the perceived better team.
Right.
The professional bettor, he bets the better number. And if you look at typical professionals, more than two-thirds of their bets are going to be on underdogs because that's where the value is.
Because it's hard to beat the spread no matter how good a team is, right?
Well, it's just because there's a premium on it. You know, the analogy I always give is like Beanie Babies or Cabbage Patch Kids is they were worth a certain something initially. And then there got to be a hysteria mania, and then they were worth more.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually teams that there gets to be a mania around. And actually, my best bet this week is going to be fading one of those teams because of that mania, the price goes up.
I got you.
All right, you have three bets for us. One is a good bet, one is a toss-up, and the other is an upset. What do you have?
Yeah, so the game I like best this week is going against Seattle. Now, Seattle dominated in front of the world in the Super Bowl against Peyton Manning. They dominated last week in front of the world against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And if you had bet them the last 33 games, you would have won 24 times. So your pockets are bulging if you've backed them. But here's the thing. Seattle's not as good on the road. They've only covered 42% on the road in the last nine or so years. And next week, Seattle plays against Denver, a rematch of the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to be really focused on winning big. They just want to win. San Diego's at home getting 6 points. That's my best bet.
So you're saying, by the way, I'm asking for an upset. That's not your upset bet.
No, because I expect Seattle to win.
All right.
But the fact is, when I'm getting 6 points, there's obviously a lot of way. Now, I think San Diego has a chance to win.
Right.
But there's a lot of way. Not only can they win the game outright, which helps us, or we cash your bets in that case,
mm-hmm.
but they also can lose by 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, and 6 even, we push. So Seattle has to win by a touchdown at San Diego, and quite frankly, that's going to be difficult. By the way, this is only the second time since 2003 that San Diego is this big of an underdog at home. It's a historic line, and this San Diego team is pretty good.
All right.
But what did they show you last week, RJ, that showed that they could that Philip Rivers and that offense could best a Seattle defense, which looks amazing.
But under that theory, you would never bet against Seattle, right?
Right.
Because Seattle was
looking out with a six.
And that's the whole point, is when the average bettor says, oh, God, it seems so scary to bet against Seattle, that's when you want to bet against them because of how high the line is.
All right.
It's the pricing.
Fair enough.
There's a toss-up bet. Too close to call, you have no idea. What game is that this week?
Well, this one is particularly compelling. New Orleans at Cleveland. The Saints are favored by 6.5 on the road. There's three separate super trends in this game. Two of them favor the Saints. Saints off a road loss. So last week the Saints lost on the road. In that next game, 20-3 against the spread.
Wow.
Now, that's pretty amazing. Next up, the Browns in home openers. Their first game at home, last 15 times, they've only covered one time. That's another
wow.
super trend. Both of those favor the Saints, but here's the flip side. In road games, the Saints play, coached by Sean Payton. They've only covered, in those games, the road team has covered only 5 of 38 games. So the Saints are a great home team, not very good on the road, so it's tough laying points on the road. So for me, this is a toss-up game, but there's lots of interesting trends.
All right, and finally, upset pick.
Okay, so we're going to go with a team I personally, as a Steeler fan, don't like. But remember, you always bet with your head, not your heart, is Dallas at Tennessee. Dallas is a 3.5-point favorite, and Dallas has really done exceptionally well as an underdog. In fact, if all you had done is bet the underdog in Dallas game, so when Dallas is the underdog, you bet them. When they're the favorite, you bet the opponent. With that approach, you would have covered 71% of the time in the last 4-plus seasons. So this is a team that plays up or down to the competition. When Dallas is a dog by more than a field goal, 12-3 against the spread, and when they're dogs versus the AFC, they've covered 9 straight. So you add this all up, I think Dallas is not only going to cover +3.5, I think they'll win the game.
You think then that Tony Romo is going to throw the ball to his own team.
And again, I think you see a trend in how a contrarian bets the NFL, and that's really the only way to win, which is whatever you saw last week, try to identify the stuff you think that isn't quite true. It just looks that way. Mm-hmm. It looks like Dallas is horrible. It looks like Romo isn't a competent quarterback. I don't think either of those are true. Thus, that's why I'm going this way this week.
All right. There you go. RJ Bell, thanks for joining us. It's pregame.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Bye now. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:53. Comedian Bill Burr is in traffic.
Yep.
And I would avoid him.
He's really pissed.
He might kill you. So he'll be here pretty soon.
Not a happy man.
He won't be happy when he gets here. But none of us are happy when we sit in that kind of traffic.
No.
So Ralph Garman is here now. Time for a look at the show biz beat.
What's How going? About Mariah Carey's name tattooed on your back? Would you like to have that?
The whole name?
The whole name.
I don't have a relationship with her.
Just Mariah on your back.
It's a long name.
That would be a bad idea.
That's a long name.
For anyone.
Well, long enough.
It certainly was for Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
He's got it all over his back, and now he's got to have it removed because the couple is splitting up, of course. In Touch magazine said he's already started the laser process to remove Mariah from his back, but it's because it's so large, it will take about a year to totally remove the tattoo.
But you have to go back in like 10 times, I
think.
They
have to go over it and over and over with a laser and just burn it out of your flesh, basically. Wouldn't it be easier just to change one of the letters?
Right.
Make it Mabaya.
You could say
or Mariab. That makes no sense, but at least
say it's
easier.
Another language.
It's another couple hours under the pen and you're done, you know? Chris Martin is pulling out all the stops to impress Jennifer Lawrence, says Us Weekly magazine. Takes her to private romantic spots, writes songs for her, is set on sweeping her off her feet, according to friends. Chris Martin writes you your own personal song. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm swept.
You're swept. It's pretty cool, right? The buddy of mine was talking about a buddy of mine last night who's also the father of a daughter. And he was talking about how having a daughter has changed everything about how he sees the world.
Oh, no question. Yeah.
Like this Ray Rice thing would outrage the average person.
Yeah.
But when you have a daughter and you imagine her dating, engaged, or married to someone who would lay a hand on her, you want to do nothing but take an aluminum baseball bat to their skull.
Yeah, I agree.
So we were talking about this Chris Martin, Jennifer Lawrence thing. She is much younger than he is.
By the way, this is a retroactive bell for
Jennifer Lawrence. And he said, you know, how would you feel if your daughter was dating a much older man with 2 kids who wasn't even divorced yet, really? You know, would that make you uncomfortable? And I said, ordinarily, yes, but not if it's Chris Martin. I would say, if it's Chris Martin, I'd be like, you're lucky to be with him.
Yeah. He's the exception.
Young lady, you just, whatever he says, you do it. It's Chris Martin. It's Coldplay, for God's sakes. So, good news for the geeks. Another comic book superhero TV show coming to television. If you believe the Daily Variety, TNT is reportedly putting together a pilot for a series called Titans. Woo! Based on, of course, Kevin, you know.
The Tennessee Titans?
Oh, dear God. The Teen Titans. Teen Titans.
Right.
Who, of course, were?
Were the teens that were Titans. There's 4 of them.
The Teen Titans started out as a superhero group.
Right. And they have special powers.
That was the sidekicks of all the adult heroes.
Uh-huh.
They had their own.
And the adults didn't know that they had these powers.
They didn't know. Of course they knew. They were their sidekicks. It was like the junior version of the Justice League of America. You had Robin and Aqualad and Wonder Girl and Speedy and Kid Flash.
Speedy. How is that different from Kid Flash?
Because Speedy was Green Arrow's sidekick. Kid Flash was the Flash's sidekick.
But aren't they just both fast?
No,
so
Speedy is an archer.
What, like
Green
Arrow?
Anyway,
why is he named Speedy if he's an archer?
And then, of course, the Teen Titans evolved, and eventually Robin became Nightwing, and they did Cyborg and Starfire and Raven. Anyway, TV series based on them, an hour-long series for TNT. So it would be Dick Grayson, who has grown up to become Nightwing, leading a group, including Starfire and Raven and Cyborg. Come on, isn't that exciting?
No.
You don't know, man.
No, it's not really.
You don't know.
I don't know. I think that's clear.
And sad news from the world of music. Bob Crewe, legendary singer, songwriter, and producer, who created dozens of hits for Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. If you ever saw the movie or musical Jersey Boys, you know all about this character. He was responsible for all their big hits. Sherry, Big Girls Don't Cry, Walk Like a Man, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. Passed away at the age of 82 years old this week. He was a talented guy.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that? Jersey Boys?
No.
It was great.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's not my kind of thing.
But you would enjoy it, Kevin.
It's not my kind of thing.
But you would like it.
I have a clip. If you want it, I have a clip.
You have a clip of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons singing a Bob Crewe song?
Maybe their best
their
song.
Their biggest hit, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm all I want to be. I walk a study.
Yeah.
In demonology.
Yeah, that guitar work is spectacular.
Yeah.
Celebrity birthdays today. Joe Pantoliano, 63 years old today. Joey Pants. Rush drummer Neil Peart is 62. Hans Zimmer, composer, 57. Comedian Louis C.K. is 47 years old. 2 Chainz, the rapper, he's 37. Ben McKenzie, speaking of comic book TV shows, cannot wait for Gotham to start on Fox, starring Ben McKenzie and Donald Logue. Jennifer Hudson is 33 years old. Emmy Rossum is 28. Alfie Allen from Game of Thrones is 28 as well. And Molly Turlov, Sadie from Awkward, she's 22 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know if you've paid attention to this. I haven't really, but it was brought up in the meeting yesterday that Scotland is tired of being part of the UK.
Yeah, big story.
They are going to have a vote. They want to secede. They want to be their own country. Mm-hmm. They want to have their own government. And they don't want to have anything to do with the British people.
Yeah.
So that vote is coming up very soon. We only know one person from Scotland, and that's Sean Connery.
Right.
So we thought we would check in with Sean and find out what he thought about the Scotland news. Sean, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, you
What kind of way is that to greet somebody?
That's how I greet all my friends.
Well, we wanted to talk to you specifically because you're maybe the most famous person from Scotland.
Yes.
And there's this big vote that's coming up on the 18th that Scotland is going to secede from the UK and be its own country.
Yes, the Scottish National Party has set a provisional date of March the 24th, 2016, as Scottish Independence Day. And that's what we're shooting for. And that's the goal, to be free of England and be our own sovereign nation.
Now, why is this so important to people who live in Scotland?
Well, because the Queen is a...
Sean, you can't say that.
I believe I just did.
I happen to agree with you on that.
Well, there you go.
So the Queen you're not a big fan of.
We just don't like being ruled by the English.
Yeah,
we believe we should have our own government, and we should be able to make our own decisions for our own future. And also, we can have our own laws that we could come up with in Scotland that we wouldn't have to have the English say we're okay.
I see. Like what kind of law?
Like a lot of more, I think, more laws. Make it illegal to people whenever you want.
You can't say any of that, first of all. We're on the radio. And
I call it the Sphincter Stretcher Act.
I mean, you could already... That's legal, though, right?
I'm not sure. I just want to make sure that there's laws on the books that tell me I can do that.
All right, you're doing it already, but
without
you just...
consent, mind you.
Oh, well, that is different.
I'd like to be able to come up to someone in a railway station and just...
I don't think that's ever going to be okay.
Well, even I'm not voting for Scotland to be free, then, if
even
that's
if
not
Scotland
the case.
Is free.
I've got certain regulations and certain rules that have to be met.
Now, Sean, would you be involved in this? Would you perhaps run to be the new president or king or whoever's going to rule Scotland?
Yes, I would like to be President Connery of Scotland.
Do you think you have the support?
Oh, I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think people would love to see me in office. because I am, as you said, a famous scout myself.
Sure.
And also because I have Scotland's best interest at heart. And I'd love to have people come to visit me in the office of president and then show them my...
Well, I don't see again.
I'd say, welcome. I'm President Connery. Would you like to see my... And then I would whip it out. And then, nature would take its course.
I see. It seems like if you're going to be a politician, though, you might have to rethink perhaps that policy.
The showing?
Yeah, you might have to reel that in.
The whipping out of the... Yes.
What's the point of being president, then?
Well, some people just want to make good rules and stuff.
Them.
I agree.
I want to introduce our next comedian, Bill Burr!
Dude, you can't say hi to kids anymore. I love kids. I like making faces at them on the airplane, making them laugh. Now parents are like, that's the thing. I don't know, in the kitchen. That's like the latest fad with celebrities, right? You got to go out. You got to adopt a kid. But the rule is, it can't be white. What, there's no dirty little white trash kid in the middle of Tennessee? Curl up next to an outhouse. You can't hook him up. Watching this lady. She's eating Egg McMuffins, like plural. It just threw like three of them. Right down her throat like a pelican. Just like right down her gut. When she was done, she wiped her face with the bag.
They could turn that into a hit song. You know that DJ music?
Mr. Bill Burr!
Yeah! All right, when I started that intro, you threw off your headphones.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty active. I mean, it was defiant.
Like your ears were on fire.
You cannot listen to yourself?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm normal. No, I'm not. I'm not normal.
Are you too critical of yourself, or what? What's?
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to listen to myself do stand up. I will do stand up.
It was 28 seconds or 30 seconds.
We listen to you do stand up.
That's awesome. Seems like I hope you like it. I hope you like it. I don't want to listen to it. I would rather listen to every other comedian.
You've heard it. You've been there.
Yes.
All right. Tell us about your trip in today.
It was lovely.
You had a great time.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. I cruised all the way down until I got Venice Boulevard, and it just came to a dead stop.
Bill was supposed to be here at 8:05.
Yes, I was. And I left plenty of damn time.
How much time did you leave?
45 minutes for maybe, 40-minute drive on the worst day ever, and it ended up taking me like an hour and 10 minutes.
God.
No. It's,
make sure we take somebody's life.
They can't build these subways quick.
Yeah.
They can't build them quick enough, but I don't think it's going to... I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Now, was it an accident or was it stupidity?
I don't know what it was. I had to get off the boulevard.
Okay.
But the thing is the people out here are just the worst. And I'm coming from Boston, too, where we're aggressively bad. But out here, they're like pot cookie bad.
Yeah.
Where it's just kind of like, this whole sort of – that person who drives like 20 feet behind the person in front of you, like anticipates the red light and is braking on a green light.
Yeah.
Like – that's the reason why they don't let private citizens have like a tank because I swear to God, I wouldn't – plow through. I would nudge.
Definitely nudge. Give him a little help.
Listen, I don't want to be the 9 millionth comedian out here complaining about the traffic, but I will tell you this. You can tell when somebody is texting when they're in front of you is they're gliding towards an intersection where the light is green and they're riding the brake.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm looking at their head. They're like you're just looking down at their crotch or something like that. And then back up and then up and then down. It's awful.
I live in an area where there's a bunch of old people, and they drive even worse.
But they have a reason to.
Okay.
They're old. They fought a war. Their ears are ringing.
All right, good. But there's a difference to me. I would rather have aggressive bad drivers. I would rather have somebody pull in front of me, but do it quick and move on.
It's exactly how I look at it.
I sat behind a car at a red light, and it turned green, and she didn't move. And it was one of these old ladies that you couldn't really see her head.
Right.
So I tap.
Respectful beeping.
Right. The light's green.
A peep.
Right. You might want to take a look at your surroundings. Nothing. So then I wait a little bit. I was like, she's old. Maybe a little bit more. Nothing. And then I held on to it for 2 seconds, which is long.
Right.
Light turned red. Sat there.
Oh, my
God. Just waited for the next green light.
She wasn't dead?
I think you say she was asleep.
Maybe. But when it turned green, she just pulled on out, and she was perfectly fine. I was like, that could not have just happened.
I would die 1,000 deaths at that red light. My big thing I was mentioning before we got on was when you're right behind somebody at a red light, and the second turns green, they put their left turn signal on, and you're right on their bumper.
So they didn't give you any heads up.
And this is what kills me. It's like, dude, that never happened to you?
Why would you do that to somebody?
Yeah, such a dick move.
Yeah. Or if you're sitting right in the middle of the lane and the person behind you can get around you and you just and then you're making a left and you're like boxing out somebody going around to the right of you.
People do have an issue with that. They do try to block all traffic so that they can get where they're going.
They have no concept. Once they are past it out here, it doesn't exist anymore. Dude, if you're the first guy to make a left, it's your job that not only the guy behind you, the guy behind him makes it. That's your job if you're on point.
You have a responsibility as a driver. Agreed.
I'm telling you, I look in the rearview mirror, and it's a little victory for me if I see that second guy behind me make it.
You went, I did well. I did well. I agree. That's how I drive, too, and you would expect most people to, but man, oh, man.
No, it's not going to happen.
The left turn is the worst. People will just sit there, and they don't even pull into the intersection. I want to get out and go, hey, let's...
All right, I get it out of me. Now, what's this deal? Right. Scotland wants to leave...
Scotland wants its own independence, yeah.
Okay.
They're having a vote, I think, later this month.
Maybe next week they are, and it's super close. It's like 48% to 52%.
What sort of industry do they got?
I don't know.
What are they going to do?
They have oil, for one.
Oh, geez, they should have left years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's game over if they have oil.
They're out.
They have some...
That's like Norway with Sweden.
The one who has oil wins.
Yeah, you know, back then, Sweden used to... They owned... Norway.
Sweden owned Norway.
Yeah, they owned them and they treated them like crap and all that type of stuff. And then Norway fought for their independence. They get it. And then World War II breaks out and Sweden remains neutral. And they weren't a big power, but just for the fact that they remained neutral at the end of the war, just the fact that their city was still standing, they became this giant power. So Norway got – and they basically looked the other way and let Hitler use their trains to go in and go waste all the bunch of Norwegians. So at the end of the war, Norway is in such a bad way. They offered to sell the bottom third of their country back to Sweden just to get some cash. And Sweden was like, yeah, we don't want it.
No, thanks.
We don't want it, right? And then like 10, 15 years later, they struck oil. And now the Swedes go into Norway to do the jobs the Norwegians don't want to do.
Wow.
They told me that story in Stockholm, Sweden. The guy goes, yeah. He goes, we're like the same way the U.S. will use like immigrant, like Mexican workers and stuff. That's what they use.
That's funny.
These blonde, blue-eyed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Bill Burr is here. He is performing this weekend, right? Saturday and Sunday?
Yes, I am.
It's quite a lineup you have. Funny or Die presents Oddball Comedy and Curiosity Festival 2014.
Yeah, it's been an awesome tour.
Amy Schumer, Aziz Ansari, you, Chris Hardwick, Dave Attell, Louis C.K., Jeff Ross, Silverman, Whitney Cummings. I mean, it's a
I don't need to go. I don't need to show up. You got too much show there.
What is it like when there's that many comedians? Is it difficult to stand out or do you get burnout? Do you want to go earlier?
Well, I mean,
you don't
go on stage trying to stand out like, I'm going to out funny this guy.
Right.
It's just
what about the time of day you go? Because
it's more fun.
You've done our April Foolishness.
Yeah.
You know, like by the end of the night.
Yeah, the crowd is wasted.
They're sort of burnt
and then
out.
You guys always give props. Go, you know who got the set of the night? The guy that went on fourth. And then whoever goes on last or second to last, everybody's like passing out and stuff.
We might need to stop doing that.
I'll tell you, you know who was great? That guy who went on at 8:20. But I'll tell you, that guy went on at 1 in the morning. I don't. He wasn't as funny as he was last year when he went on at 9 o'clock. It's been an unbelievable tour as far as like everybody like just really paying attention, well behaved, and really listening. And you know, a long time ago, I did the O&A traveling virus one, and that one. So to me, that's kind of like what those shows are like. So
do you care? I'm sorry. Do you care about any of the other comedians that are up there in that you want to see what they do?
Oh, absolutely.
You do. You like
what I love about it is it's like a quick comedy festival. Like what I love most about comedy festivals. Is that you get to see all these comics that you never get to hang out with, and it's like almost like a reunion. So that's one of the things that I enjoy about this is, you know, people always – I go on the road and people always tell me, hey, have you seen Dave's New Hour? Have you seen Louie's New Hour and that type of thing? It's like, no, I'm always somewhere else.
Yeah, you're busy.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about it is you get to watch all of
them. Do you wander around? You go out in the crowd?
No, I don't go out in the crowd. Stay in the back area eating M&Ms.
All right.
Watching people, seeing how many more hours before I go on.
Well, it's Saturday and Sunday, and it looks awesome. You can get tickets at livenation.com or oddballfest.com. We need to take a break. Excuse me. Bill Burr is here, and we'll be right back. Bill Burr, comedian, Humanitarian?
No. You know what's funny
sounded
about me?
Like I should say something
else. You knew you had to say three things, but I only got one. Comedian?
Humanitarian was all I could come up with, and that's only two.
I got nothing.
Still don't have a third. I'm sorry.
I got nothing.
I apologize for that.
You know what's funny is during the break, for you, all you listeners out there, Kevin was asking me all like, you've been keeping up on this ISIS stuff? Nope. You've been doing that? Like, I don't watch the news or anything.
What's going on?
I'm not giving you a rough time. This is on me.
All right.
Now, as far as that ISIS terrorist group, as far as I knew, wasn't she the woman with Thundar the Barbarian when I was a kid and I watched cartoons? There was some cartoon where there was this sexy woman drawn.
Right.
And she would be like a little precursor to the Japanese cartoon porn.
Right.
She'd go, oh, mighty ISIS, 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 ISIS. And she'd spin around. Was that Wonder Woman?
I honestly have no idea what you're talking about. I don't think I ever saw that. But I'm pretty sure this ISIS isn't the same.
Oh, it isn't the same?
I don't think so. I think this is a terrorist organization or something like that.
Yeah.
We brought up the Patriots off the air.
Yes, we did.
Lost to the Dolphins.
Yes, they did.
I like doing that to you. I don't know why.
I know you do. And you know what? I enjoy that you like that the Patriots are losing. It lets me know how much it bothered you. That when we were winning all of those Super Bowls, there was nothing you could do about it because you don't have a football team.
Well,
and you have no excuse because you guys are such horrible fans out here that two football teams said, you know what? I've had enough.
We're out.
I'd rather be in St. Louis than in downtown L.A. playing football in front of all these beautiful movie stars.
And here's the sad thing.
I would rather go to Oakland.
That's a good point.
That's rough.
Then be here in Los Angeles.
That's a good point. I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan because that's where I'm from, so I can't really.
Oh, yeah. That,
I can't really speak much, but I do enjoy watching bad things happen to Tom Brady. Looked like he was crying on the bench. I love that.
Why wouldn't you?
I also really enjoyed Dallas.
Ah, you're just jealous. He's a great-looking guy
with his
dimpled chin and his supermodel wife and his three rings, and you're not man enough to say, I wish I was him.
I wish I was
him. So anytime he has a bad day, you're going to sit there, oh, I loved watching that.
Tom came in
here right now, you'd tear up, and you'd ask for his autograph. You'd have him sign your little man peck.
That's hard to argue. That is hard to argue.
Hey, I'd be right behind you.
But let's talk about Tony Romo having a bad night. That was awesome. And that's not because if he walked in here, I would not. I hate him. And it
Why?
Was so fun. I don't know. I just hate the whole
Tony
organization.
Romo, trashing Tony Romo is
so over.
I hate
the Cowboys. I hate everything of Jerry
Jones. The Cowboys
Jones.
Is the Dallas Cowboys will never win another championship until Jerry Jones gets rid of that high-speed elevator to get him down to the field. He is the problem. That guy chased away Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy Johnson was so great.
Yeah.
And he put together such an unbelievable team that even Barry Switzer won with that team 2 years later.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it has been
Dude,
like, if you really look how that team is run, there's no difference between the Dallas Cowboys and, like, an episode of, like, Falcon Crest. It's the exact same thing.
I can't imagine how.
The J.R. Ewing character, right? It's just like, you know, the patriarch.
Dallas.
Everybody having to answer. Yeah, and you notice that he kind of got yes men ever since Jimmy Johnson, other than Bill Parcells. He's not going to get that guy. Like, he went back to Bill Parcells for half a second, and then he's just like, all right.
That guy doesn't say yes to me every time, so I need someone else.
Yeah, he needs to just, like, he's just there.
You know
what? His stupid head is just there.
You know what?
You go to the game, you turn around, he's right there in his suite. He's just there.
Yeah.
It's like if anybody does construction work out there, is there anything worse than when the owner of the house is just staring over your shoulder? Who's that? It's just like, get out of here. Let me do this.
Go watch
it's the
distance.
Same thing. That's what he's doing. He is choking the life out of that team.
They also must have some kind of contract where they show him every minute they go, they have a shot of him wherever he is in the stadium.
No, he's like the Paris Hilton of owners, where he became famous for being famous. Kind of.
Right.
I mean, I guess he also owns the Cowboys, but it's like he kept inserting himself in front of the camera. He kept making comments. It was all about him. Yeah, he did the George Steinbrenner thing. Like,
yes.
I remember back in the day when he was alive, when the Yankees would lose like 3 games in a row, and then Steinbrenner would have to issue a statement. It's like, let me guess, George. You want him to start winning again? I'm not really sure. Could you clarify? As an owner, are you more happy with wins or with losses? By all means, and do this like 16 times during the season. It's just like, it's completely, I don't know if it's ego based or whatever, but like at some point, you know, I want to sound like a hack. I'll tell you right now, you got to let a coach coach.
Yeah, but that's true. Did you see the USC game? Probably not. You were probably on the road.
No, I was last week. I'm gonna pull a big. I'm gonna pull a big Hollywood move here. I was at the Toronto Film Festival.
Nice.
I was lucky enough to get into a film last year called Black and White, written and directed by the wonderful Mike Binder. Stars Kevin Costner, Octavia Spencer, and I got a couple of lines in that thing. So
when's that coming out?
The beginning of November.
Fantastic. And that sounds like a cool gig.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What's Costner like? Oh, wait, let me tell you my USC story first.
I got a great, great Costner story.
Right, we'll get to Costner, but I forgot USC. So the athletic director comes running down on the field to argue with the refs, which apparently is illegal.
Great move.
In college football.
Great move.
He said the coach texted him. Hey, we need some help down here. Would you mind coming? So he came down from his wherever he is, the athletic director, came down, got sort of walked on the field, started yelling at the ref, got fined like $25,000 or something. But at least in college, they have the good sense to fine him.
Wow.
But the Cowboys thing.
He texted him?
That's the story.
That's kind of a big drop off between him and Pete Carroll. No, when Pete Carroll to that other guy who came in from Tennessee, what the hell's his name? They said his name like 58. Huh?
Coach O? No.
No, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for interrupting. All right, I'm sorry. Kevin Costner, you're in a movie with. Yeah. It's called Black and White. It comes out in early November.
Yeah.
You have a story about Kevin Costner.
Oh, we had a great time. Obviously, had a great time getting to work with them. And
is he a big movie star attitude?
No. But even if he was, why would I say that? I'm barely in movies. Yeah, okay. You know, let me tell you something about this Morgan Freeman. No, he was an awesome guy. He was a really... you know, just love telling stories and that type of stuff, making movies and all that type of thing. But he's a real big-time outdoorsman. And on the last day we filmed, he invited me out, and I went bow fishing with him in the bayou in New Orleans.
Bow fishing?
Yeah.
What's
You got a bow and arrow, and you shoot at fish.
You're kidding.
So I was on the set of it, shooting it, and by the end of the day, at night, I'm out on one of those fan. You know, you got the giant fan in the middle, whatever you call those things. With these dudes from New Orleans with these flashlights.
In swamps or whatever?
Scanning that are like, they're basically maybe chest deep water.
Right.
But you would not want to jump in there for something would grab you when they would never see you again.
Right.
And they were flashing the light, and then when they would see a fish, they'd just go right there, right there, right there, right there. And then you'd go over. And the key was,
you
aimed 6 inches lower than where the fish was because of the optical illusion of the surface of the water made the fish look like it was higher. And,
or did you get good at it?
I got three of them.
Out of?
Wow.
I don't know, 40, 50 shots? But, I mean, that's not bad, dude.
I don't know what's good and what's bad. I've never done it, but I think I need to. Did you practice with the bow and arrow? Did they show you how to do it right? Did you practice
before you went? No, they just showed. I mean, it's a simple weapon.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I'm guessing.
The arrow points in the direction it's supposed to go. You pull it back. You let it go. Point.
But I'm saying it's not necessarily easy to hit the fish. All they told you was 6 inches low. And
6 inches lower. And then if you played sports, you lead them a little bit. You watched Full Metal Jacket.
Sure, sure.
Right? You lead the smaller ones a little. A little less.
Sure.
How did Costner do?
How did Costner do? Is he like an expert?
Come on, man.
He's like 50 out of 50.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lot of those movies you think he's acting, he isn't when he's doing the cowboy thing. That guy, he's the real deal. It was pretty awesome.
I don't see a lot of bow and arrow fishing.
I've never heard of it.
That's not a
neither
thing
did I.
That's ever been in my life.
Neither did I.
But
next thing you know, we're in the middle of nowhere in a gas station getting a fishing license. And we went out there and it was awesome.
I need to be a part of that.
It was a great time. And you know,
I need to be
if
a part
the apocalypse
of
happens out here in L.A.
You're the guy with the bow and arrow?
I can go bow fishing in all these lakes out here that are drying up.
All these dry lakes?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to help. Bill Burr is going to be at the Funny or Die Presents Oddball Comedy and Curiosity Festival 2014.
You got it.
It's a pretty long title and pretty difficult to say. Tell us about it.
You've just been a ray of sunshine, I got to tell you.
Am I negative?
Hey, I went bow fishing. I got three of them out of how many shots?
All right, but
I feel like I'm running for office here.
I'm not
going to be your representative here, Kevin.
No, I'm not saying that. I want to go bow
fishing.
That's
a really difficult name to
say. Well, you said three.
What I'm hearing to promote.
Here's the problem.
It's difficult for Kevin.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's difficult
for
Kevin.
He has a hard time.
Well, I can relate to that. I have empathy. You want to hear something funny? Okay. You should have me read out loud one day.
Really?
Really?
That's half the reason people listen to my podcast is to hear me read the advertising.
That's awesome.
And then once I start tripping up, it's just like I'm in fourth grade again. I start thinking, don't trip up again. And it's just like I'm falling downstairs trying to catch myself.
Kevin, he's you.
He's me.
We have to play something for him.
He's me, but he's funny. Like, no, and that's what happens to me all the time. And I get stuck in this vortex of hell where you're repeating yourself and then you forget the point. Like, you don't know where you're going now.
Yep. You start, one word reminds you of something else. Then people try to make you feel better going like, no, it's actually because you're really intelligent and your brain works so fast. And it's just like, no, dude, I'm in my head. I know what's going on.
No one's ever said that to me, oddly enough.
They don't
try to make me feel better. They play highlights and then and replay them and replay them and replay them. All right, if you want to see Bill Burr, Amy Schumer, Aziz Ansari, Chris Hardwick, Hannibal Buress, Jeff Ross, Jim Gaffigan, Jim Jeffries is going to be there, Louis C.K., Mark Maron. I mean, it sounds
David,
like
oh my God.
Pretty much everybody that matters is going to be there. And if you'd like to go, you can get tickets at livenation.com or you can go to oddballfest.com. All of those I like.
I'm predicting a group photo.
A group photo with
gonna,
all of
It's going to happen. Oh, you got to. That's like You know that classic picture of all those jazz musicians sitting on that stoop in Harlem?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen?
I'm open. I'm comparing David Tell to Charlie Parker right now.
You are. And that seems like a difficult thing to do, but.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, I always appreciate you coming in. I'm sorry about the traffic on the way.
Yeah, next time I'm going to leave like an hour and a half early. Right. And I apologize to everybody being the 90th comedian in here to come. I'll tell you, this L.A. traffic. Is this crazy or what? I didn't want to do it, but I kind of had to get it off my chest.
But it is, unfortunately. It is. I mean, all of us deal with that. I would say, I'm not joking, 75% of the guests that we have are late in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And I don't know why it's worse.
There might be some construction.
Could be. I don't know.
Here's what I would do if I was England. I would let Scotland go free.
Okay.
And then I would wait 3 months and then I would invade them with their lack of a military force. I would invade them and then I would make it even worse than it was. And then I would let them vote again.
Uh-huh.
And I would be like, all right, this is just some evil stuff.
Okay.
And this is nothing against Scotland.
I like the way your mind works.
Yeah. Like that's all you had. That was like what Canada should have done. What Canada should have done was let the Quebec province, whatever it was, secede from the Union, and then all the other provinces just invade them. You know? Then you got a nice little flat there in Montreal.
You have all the answers. Right? You have all the answers.
Yeah, then you have all the gold and all the women, all those beautiful women in Montreal.
Right.
That's not an original idea. Genius. That's basically, well, I don't think anybody's done that in history, where they just go, all right, you can leave.
Yeah.
And then
I think it is an original idea. And then wait for them to realize that they're weak.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of problems.
With a similar through line of evil. This just comes natural to white males. You know how I would
never
kill their dream?
How would you kill their dream?
I know. I'm just saying.
Oh,
I just told
that's
you.
How
that's
your mind
yeah, that's what I would do. Look at those people enjoying themselves over there. Your evil mind starts working.
That's not going to happen for long.
Yeah.
I've got a way. I'll let them go.
Oh, we didn't even talk NFL. We don't know. Roger Goodell. How ridiculous is it that group is trying to get Roger Goodell to step down?
I don't know what happened with that whole thing. I'm not a fan of Roger Goodell.
You know what? Even if he did see it, he did.
And
what,
then lied
he,
about it.
But he did. Like everybody does. If you saw it and made a mistake. And have $1 billion go out the window. Listen, it's very easy to sit on your couch and go like, you know what I would have done? This is what my thing. I would have more sympathy for people bitching about this guy if every time there was an offender bender, the person who's in the wrong was like, oh, it was a yellow. It wasn't red. It was yellow. And then if the lawsuit goes past a certain point, the yellow light becomes a green light. And you just lie your way out of it. And as you move up, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
But on a much grander, much more serious scale.
No.
Yeah.
It isn't. They're really trying to make it look like Stephen A. Smith hit the nail on the head. He's really trying to act like everybody in the – like they really have a problem with wife beating. Okay? More so than like plumbers or dentists. Like it's just – you're just paying attention to them. And they have nice cars and beautiful women. Your same attitude towards Tom Brady. There's a resentment to those people. So now you're – there's like 50 guys on every team. And like how many guys have gotten busted for that out of all of them?
I don't have that number. I don't have that stat.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
Nobody does. But they're acting like they have a real – there's a culture in the locker room. It isn't. What it is, it's a group, and it's a major feather in their cap. If they can get the commissioner of the NFL to get fired, then they become this entity of you got to do what they say or else X, Y, and Z. That's a big thing now.
So that's what they're going for with the whole thing?
Well, because my thing is, like, how does that help Roger Goodell's if they get him fired, how does that change? Like, how does that help women getting beaten in this country? Like, does that change his perspective?
Well, because I imagine if the NFL changes their attitude, that that's something that would reverberate nationwide, and women might realize, yes, you can report it, and yes, you can make a difference here and get somebody
put away. Well, then that would
be
if all those billboards out there that say don't hit women, then those would work, because wife beaters would look at it and be like, ah, I shouldn't do that anymore.
No, but if they really thought they would get...
don't make cultural decisions based on a sports network, like whatever you call it, a sports league.
Right.
You're going to make decisions about yourself as a human being.
You're
because
not gonna
what the commissioner of a football league does, it's the most asinine thing ever. It goes all the way back to that Charles Barkley crap where he said, I'm not a role model. And he's right. Raise your kids. Raise your kids properly. So it's one of those things where, you know, he made if he was guilty, he made a snap decision to protect everybody else. What did people think happened in the elevator? They saw her. She looked lifeless when she tried. You knew the horror that happened.
But yeah.
So it makes it worse if you see it.
He was attacking him and he pushed her and then she knocked her head. Not that he cold.
Okay. So do you think so?
The way he dragged her out of the elevator, like he wasn't concerned at all.
Let me ask you this:
run up to her and tap her and like, are you?
You
okay?
Don't know that. You don't.
Yes,
know that.
I saw the video.
No, but it's not sound. You don't know what's going on in his head. Is he freaking out? Is he stunned? Is he hammered? Here's another thing, though. But so you're basically saying, so if the woman ran at him, then it's not as bad if he punches her in the face.
It's not as bad if he pushed her as punching
she's saying,
her in
no,
the
no,
face.
No. You were saying, she's like, saying, yes. You're saying that we didn't see if she ran at him. So I'm asking you.
No, I'm saying it's worse if he punched her versus pushed her and she hit her head.
On accident.
Yeah.
He pushed her on purpose, but she hit her head on accident, is what Lisa's saying.
That's
here's what
not
I'm
as
saying.
Bad
so that makes
as
it worse.
Yes.
Here's what I'm saying. It's 8:53.
How many movies have you watched where somebody pushes somebody and they hit their head and they
if
die?
If you push them.
You know, so I mean, I don't think any of that is good.
My point
no,
about it being
I don't think it's good either, but there are
so you have so let me ask you levels. This. So let me ask you this. So if you're the commissioner,
yes.
Okay. What is your suspension for pushing? What is your suspension for I'm a righty but I hit her with my left? What is your suspension for I hit her with a combination?
I don't think you should have punched her at all.
Exactly.
But
so
but
you knew
we didn't
you knew
know.
What you knew
no,
when
we
she came
didn't
out.
Didn't know that he punched her until that video came out. We didn't know that. He could have just shoved her and she could have knocked her head.
Okay.
He's a big, strong guy.
Okay, I'm not saying he isn't. But Roger Goodell has to lose his job?
Well, if he saw the video,
and?
Which they're saying he did and? Before, and went, 2-game suspension. That's not enough.
But I'm not saying the suspension matches. I don't understand why smoking weed you lose a whole year. But I'm saying why should he lose his job? We keep getting off the point here. Like I'm advocating...
Because I think he's sweeping it under the rug and not addressing the problem like he should be.
Okay, but he should lose his job?
Yeah.
Here's why.
I don't have a problem with that.
Why?
Because
like,
he
why
lied.
Should, why should he
one,
lose
he
his job?
He lied.
So? Have you lied?
So?
Have you lied?
That's not my job.
Here's what I would like to say.
But have you...
Have I lied publicly?
You're supposed to be
like,
doing, what you're supposed
know.
To be doing is trying to work towards stopping this problem.
Yes.
And to sit there and just fire people and make people lose their jobs and take away their ability to earn a living, it's not... You're completely getting away...
You don't think a new person in that job that took that kind of thing more seriously would change the culture?
I think he did take it seriously.
Bit?
I think he made the wrong decision. I think the guy made a mistake. I think he regrets what he did. I don't think he should lose his job.
All right, my point is...
I just feel like there's this thing where it's people are mad about it and now somebody has to lose their job. But it's not a step towards let's get people to stop hitting women. It's just that crucify him. How does him losing his job?
Somebody else in that position takes it more seriously and turns in athletes that do
yeah,
that.
It's
and
definitely...
that and that stops somebody from hitting a woman?
No, but it but
isn't
it,
that the isn't
no,
that the
there
end
is
result
a cultural
here?
Change. Cultural changes do happen
over
time. And when something like the NFL takes a real stand, it does cause ripples throughout the country. And people start to stand up.
I honestly think that right there, that is just – that's propaganda.
I don't think it's propaganda.
I think it's – I don't think the NFL starts or stops beating of women. It's bad parenting.
Well, agreed.
This guy is an adult. They get him in their job when he's 23 years old.
Right.
Who screwed up for the first 23 years that this guy thought it was okay to do what he did? That's his thing when a woman comes at him. It's horrific what this guy did. And now this guy is going to lose his job. He has to lose his job because this guy wasn't raised right?
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
You guys haven't given me a good reason, though.
I think him lying and not really taking... I don't think he took it very seriously.
This is just all speculation. Why don't you think he took it seriously?
Because
he took
it
seriously.
Two games.
Wait, you're making the speculation that he did. You don't know that. I don't. So we're both guessing.
And I'm not advocating any of this.
Right.
I'm not advocating not showing the video. I'm not advocating. I'm just saying this guy to have to lose his job.
Fine with that.
Is just like
fine
this.
With it.
It's just this anger thing that's not working towards solving the problem. And people go, oh, he lost his job. Now we're going to see people like fearful of losing their job. It's like a McCarthyism way of going about trying to solve a problem rather than actually addressing the problem.
Society works slowly. This is not going to be an overnight thing. But I think if you replace a guy like that with a guy who really does take that type of thing seriously, it makes a little difference. And you move forward a little bit.
I think he did take it seriously.
Well, okay. I don't think he did.
I think he just decided he didn't want his lead to go down. Why don't you look up a certain car maker that knew they had a bad ignition switch?
I don't have that kind of time.
Okay. Yeah. And like six people died. They literally committed six homicides and none of them lost their jobs. It's like a witch hunt. Like, why this guy? There's something about sports. Everybody in sports has to be held accountable. But if you're a banker and you rob the entire nation, like, nobody goes to jail for that.
Listen,
it's ridiculous.
I agree with you, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't be held accountable because other people weren't.
Here's what I
Why not?
That's not a good argument.
Yeah, it is.
So three people got away with a crime and you catch the fourth one, he shouldn't go to jail because three people got away
with it? No, they caught the bankers. They caught the bankers and they didn't go to jail and they got the houses back to do it all over again.
Hey, Bill. I love you.
Yeah.
I love you.
Anytime you go into the bankers, it's like everybody's got a microchip in their head.
You're one of the best comedians that I know.
Let's continue attacking sports. Let's hold them accountable. Everybody else can do whatever the hell they want. And if your kid screws up, it's because of the power forward on the Portland Trail Blazers.
I don't know what he's
doing. He's an angry man.
Okay.
I'm not an angry
man. Bill, I love you, but we have to go. I apologize.
You got to tell me this. You can't tell me somebody right now is not late for work listening to this.
I can't tell you that. No.
I know why they're late for work. They're stuck in traffic.
How many bloggers right now are going to just sit there and be like, you know, he was advocating
a lot.
Am I going to lose my job Sunday night?
I certainly hope not.
Yeah, because if people actually will listen to this and think that I advocate hitting women,
which
they don't.
Of course, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Because you didn't go along with the let's fire Roger Goodell. I'll say if Roger Goodell didn't exist,
this would still
women
happen.
Would not get hit.
Yeah, no, I understand your point, which is that firing him really has nothing to do with.
I think it's a feather in the cap of people. Like he's like they want to put his head on the wall.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. You're not. I'm all right with that.
No, because I don't think that the reason they want him to get fired, I think it's a show of power rather than really solving the problem. Trying to give their group more power, even if they have a good cause, it's a power thing. And this guy, I don't think he should lose his job.
Yeah,
I don't. I think he completely screwed up, and I don't think he's going to end up, you know, it's homophobic. All right. And rather than sitting down with the person going like, listen, dude, you're thinking this way. This isn't right. This isn't right. Blah, 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 blah. It's immediately this guy needs to be fired. And then he's gone. And now he doesn't have a job.
Right.
And he still has that homophobia in him, and now he's angry.
But he doesn't have that homophobia, and he's in a position to make it worse.
I know, but here's the thing,
taking him out of the position to make it worse is a good thing.
Okay.
It's a step forward.
But then what you also did is then unleash him bitter and angry with that homophobia still in him. It's like, I don't understand why you can't step... Why can't somebody make a mistake where it's like, you don't come into the world homophobic. You're taught that. So why as a kid, if somebody thinks something at eight because their parents taught it to them, it's not their fault. But
right.
If no one ever corrects them and they go out into the world,
right.
They're just repeating what my dad or mom said
right.
was right. So then when you catch them doing it, that's the moment where you could maybe turn it around. And I understand firing them because you don't want them to put it out in the airways. But then you just cut bait and you let them go and then they pass it on to their kids. And then their kids pass it on to their kids and it keeps going. And I feel like there's an opportunity in that moment to be like, listen, you just hurt a lot of people.
you can go through all of the horrible history of homophobia. Right. I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
And you could actually try to enlighten this person. And I think if you just go, this guy's a bad guy, boom, you fire him and you cut him loose. I don't think that's necessarily a solution either. I understand the whole, well, we don't want this guy on TV saying that stuff. I get that part of it.
Right.
But I don't understand, like, if you're really going to be responsible and try and stop that you just set this guy, all right, go ahead, jump in your station wagon now and scream about why you got fired.
He handled it poorly enough. I'm fine if he gets fired. I think it is a small step forward.
I know. You made that point. But okay. Do you understand at least a little bit of what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
That's all I'm saying here. Like, I'm not saying that what the NFL did wasn't horrifically wrong. I don't think the suspension was anywhere near what it should have been. But, like, now this thing where it's now, like, crucify him and everybody – the amount of people who watch who don't even care, where it's just fun to watch somebody in trouble lose this awesome job that you wish you had versus the people who actually care about – like, there's so much, like, BS in this whole thing.
I understand that, too. But I think the people who are –
the amount of money that's going to be made watching this guy get fired and then you go to the toothpaste commercial – I mean, I'm telling you, dude.
All right, we're going to have to disagree on this one.
Okay.
It's cool. We disagreed a lot.
This is a two-parter.
It's a five-parter.
We were supposed to start Showbiz 12 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So that happened.
So what are you saying? Showbiz is more important than the issue of wife beating?
How dare you?
you're both in trouble.
Check out Bill Burr this weekend.
I think whoever fills up the Coke machine ought to get fired. I blame the caffeine.
You can get tickets at LiveNation.com or OddballFest.com. Thanks for coming in, Bill.
All right,
guys. Appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 11 minutes after 9 o'clock. Quick apology. I wish we had more time for that last conversation.
Yeah, that was unexpected.
We sort of didn't start that until it was too late.
Yeah.
So then I didn't really know how to handle it or whether to get out of it. I wish we had more time to talk about it.
Yeah.
But we don't, so we're going to move on. We have DJ Qualls on the phone with us now, who we love. DJ, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Brother, good morning.
How are you, man? Very good, thank you.
Where's Bean?
Bean is on vacation.
Where'd he go?
I think he's getting washed away.
Do you really want to know? He went to Alabama.
Who the hell goes to Alabama for a vacation?
Bean. Yeah. Here's the thing about Bean is he plans vacations that I think he knows his wife won't want to go on, but it's very important to him to go to all 50 states, and there's only two left, and he chose Alabama, and we mocked him, and he left, and we don't know.
Okay.
He'll be back Monday. I wish I had seen Citizen Z because this sounds like my kind of show. Please explain what it is to me. And it's I guess it's on Sci-Fi tonight, right?
Yeah, we premiere tonight at 10 o'clock on Sci-Fi. Z Nation is the show. I play Citizen Z. Basically, we're 3 years out from a zombie apocalypse. And
three years after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Basically, in our world, everybody gets the virus. So as soon as you die, you turn.
Okay.
So it makes funerals interesting. And so it's just... You know, dude, I haven't actually seen it, so I don't even know what they want me to talk about. Let's talk about how it was legit got canceled. I'm bummed.
You're bummed about legit. So are we. Yeah, that was.
I know, dude.
That was one of the best shows on TV.
Thanks, man. It was really sad for me. I cried actually, like for about 20 minutes, and they called and offered me this, and that made it better.
I mean, you're like, all right.
I mean, the show is pretty cool. It's like the show, Z Nation is kind of like a political, social satire with zombies in it.
Is it about... what I was reading on it was that it's about a guy, and maybe that guy is you, who gets bitten but doesn't turn.
No, that's Murphy. We think we have a vaccine for it. So the CDC lab in California gets overrun by zombies, and they just start stabbing. They're using prisoners, like people who are in jail, as their test subjects.
Right.
They start stabbing them with different strains, and he's the guy that doesn't turn. So now they have to get him... Actually, it happens in New York. They have to get him from New York to California in a country that has no infrastructure anymore.
Wow. Okay. And this guy's the hope of humanity because he's the only one that hasn't turned, and so they can maybe make a virus.
I'm like kind of like Jesus.
You're Jesus.
I'm Jesus.
All right.
He's like, well, I'm God. He would be Jesus, I think, in this scenario.
Okay. How many episodes do we have this season of Citizen Z?
We have 13 episodes of the show. It premieres tonight. We go for 13 weeks. It's a fun ride. We're shooting Spokane, Washington. So I'm like 4 hours from where Bean lives.
Well, I'll give you his address if you want to stop by.
I mean, he loves you.
I think the next thing I'm shooting is actually in Seattle. I'd love to go over and knock on his door and run away.
Honestly.
So you have to give me his address.
Honestly, you have to promise not to run away, though. Because you being there will make him so uncomfortable that it'll
really?
Be awesome. Yeah.
I have that effect on him?
Well, no, everyone does. And he doesn't
really?
Like – he really doesn't like people, so he sort of just hides.
Yeah, he's not comfortable.
And then if somebody comes to his door, that's way worse because that's his, you know, his sanctuary where he hides from people.
Oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go over and get handsy with him, like start touching him and stuff.
I like it. I like it. You have to wear a GoPro, though, so that we can see it all go down.
I'm not kidding. We should do this.
I'm not kidding either.
We'll totally do it.
he probably doesn't listen to the show, so you – So we're going to plan it. I'll call you
right
before I go up there. I'm going up there like in 2 weeks, I think.
Okay, cool.
Perfect.
Will he be back from vacation?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be back a week from Monday, yeah. He'll be back this Monday. So whenever you want to do it, we'll do it.
Okay, cool. I'm not joking. We're really
just
doing
nobody
it.
Tell him.
Nobody
all you,
tell him.
All you people out there that are like tweeting him or whatever right now, don't tell him.
It.
That ruins the fun. So don't
yeah,
do that.
Please don't.
DJ Qualls, do call me. I'll give you his address. I'm not kidding.
All right.
Z Nation premieres tonight, Friday night, on Sci-Fi at 10 p.m. Looks like a great show. We always love having you on, DJ. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, brother. I'll come into the show when I'm back in town. I feel cheated because normally when I tell you stories, I leave out the names on the air, and then afterward I tell you who was really involved.
Yeah, that's true.
That's our favorite part.
That's true.
Yeah, I have more stuff to tell you.
All right. So when you're back in town, come in.
All right.
Thank you, DG.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Now. A lot of stuff up at KevinAbid.com, KRock.com right now. Vance Joy joined us and performed live. That's up there.
Yes.
6'4" Australian with a ukulele.
Kind of dreamy.
Or uke, as he calls it.
Yeah.
My September 11th tribute. Got a lot of positive response from that. Thank you to everybody. That's up there. Tove Lo performing live. Kurt Sutter interview from Sons of Anarchy. There's a lot of stuff up there, including the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. But I wanted to focus on one video that we didn't have much time for. And it's called Baby Metal. And it's three 15-year-old girls. Actually, there's one 16-year-old and two 15-year-old girls.
Okay.
And they sing about loving chocolate. So, of course, that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's metal. Now, what are they saying? I don't know.
I can't tell you.
Probably, I love chocolate, I love chocolate. There's a vocalist who is also a dancer, and then there's two other girls, and they are listed as Scream. That's their job, is to scream.
Okay.
Comma, and dance. So there's a vocalist, dancer, and two screamers that dance. Like, in what world is this happening?
They sound so good.
Two 15-year-old girls and a 16-year-old girl. I love chocolate. I love chocolate. I don't know why that song's called I Love Chocolate, but it is. And it's up there with all of the other videos from the Internet Roundup. You can check it out at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. I'm saying it's cool. If you can't, I'm saying if you can't, it's cool.
Oh, I can find it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
One thing we know about Beer Mug, if he can't find it, he'll spend the rest of the day looking for it.
We got it.
Oh, that's too bad for me.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, we have stuff to give away. We have a pair of VIP tickets to the Red Bull Global Rallycross, September 19th to the 21st. It's happening at the LA, at the Port of LA. If you'd like tickets and more info, you can go to this website, Red Bull Global Rally Cross. Right. Start the song again. I'm not happy with that. I don't feel like this is going well. I don't feel like the client's getting their money's worth.
Wow.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Rarely does anyone have to pull the ripcord on this show where we really have to start all over again.
Yeah. My moments are getting longer. You notice?
You couldn't even fight through that one.
Yeah. Well, I was underwater when I started, you could tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to read. If we know anything about you, reading is not your strong suit.
I got a tiny glimpse of air. I thought I could make it.
Yep.
Nope.
Nope.
Did not make it. So for the last, like, 5 seconds, I was thinking, this isn't going well. I should stop the song. But then that's super you know, interrupts it even more.
Yeah.
So
Marconi Award.
I think I did a good job.
Just saying Marconi Award.
I think I'm happy with that.
I know.
Marconi Award.
I know.
That's supposed to be for good people in radio, I think.
Is there no
I don't
one
know
in
much
radio
about,
anymore?
I don't know much about the award, but...
I know that I don't deserve
Kevin
it.
Kevin and Bean are the personalities, the major market personalities of the year. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Bean are.
That happened.
Yeah.
Have they never read Bean's tweets? And they've never heard Kevin, apparently.
Well, you know, we send all the shows straight to the Smithsonian.
All of that is true.
Speaking of Bean, I mean, first of all, what a fun week this has been. But secondly, what's up with the selfies, man? What is up with the selfies? Relax
is
with the
selfies. Is he taking
selfies? It's all selfies all the time on his vacation.
Is that right?
There's just a slideshow of him standing in front of stuff with his face being twice as big as whatever's behind him. What happens when you travel alone, man? It's a lot of selfies.
I am not a winner.
No, you're not. But looking forward to having you back on Monday. Yeah. It's a tough time of year for me.
You love it.
Let me give you something, because you're nice. And you deserved it. Many of you listened to Kevin fight with our guests earlier today. So I want to give you a little prize. How about a walk among the tombstones?
Yeah!
The new Liam Neeson movie, which looks awesome, by the way.
Does look great.
Plays a private investigator who has to track down a gang of kidnappers and murderers who are singling out prominent members of society, including a drug kingpin and several others. Neeson's just great when he's kicking ass. This movie comes out in theaters on September the 19th. We're going to have a special K-Rock screening beforehand on September the 16th at the AMC Burbank 16. If you'd like to go... Give me a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number will win a pair of passes to see the K-Rex screening of A Walk Among the Tombstones. A lot of good movies coming out in the next couple of weeks. Looking forward to it.
Not a lot this weekend, but a lot.
Oh, well, that's Skeleton Twins.
Yeah,
looks funny and interesting. My Old Lady with Kevin Kline looks funny and interesting. Some smaller scale sort of quirky comedy stuff you can check out. Is Ellen Pompeo giving up acting after Grey's Anatomy is over? Well, apparently she is.
Is it over?
Really?
I definitely don't have a strong desire to act after Grey's. I don't find acting terribly empowering, she said. Now, she and Patrick Dempsey have 2-year contracts left, so she's not leaving anytime soon. But once it's all over, she said she would like to become a producer. She wants to develop new TV shows. And she says an acting really doesn't do it for her anymore.
Do you think this issue, and I know we're all just guessing, is that you just have so much downtime, you have so much waiting around, you have so much... Is that great on people?
Well, and waiting around for projects to speak to you, whereas now she could develop them.
But she doesn't want to act. She develops stuff for herself to act in,
no,
she
I know.
Says. You know, it's weird. You know, she says she doesn't find it terribly
stories.
Empowering. Huh. I think it's because largely you are at the disposal of writers and directors and producers. You are a tool. You're a cog in the wheel.
Oh, I can see
and
that.
And maybe
then,
she
yeah.
wants more. I think it also comes from doing the same show year after year after year after
yeah.
year. It's not quite as much of a buzz as going on doing different things. Jimmy Fallon has announced he is going to have Barbara Streisand as his only guest on The Tonight Show coming this Monday.
Hang on. Avoid Fallon.
Oh, come on. You
Monday
love Babs.
Night.
The reason it's a big deal is because this is her first late-night talk show guest appearance since 1963. It was the last time she did a late-night talk show.
Wow.
Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show had her on to plug her album back in 63, and she's coming on to plug an album on Jimmy Fallon 50 years later. That's quite a career, by the way, if you can still be at least a little bit relevant after 50 years.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Is she a little bit relevant?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Still selling out giant venues and selling tons of records.
All right.
Just because she's not your thing.
Not my thing.
Doesn't mean she's not out there. Also out there is David Faustino. You remember him as Bud Bundy? Apparently, he is now currently pitching to various networks a Married with Children spinoff of what would happen if Bud grew up. What's Bud up to these days?
Is it called What's Bud?
What's Bud? Anybody interested in finding out what Bud has been up to?
No.
Yeah. Didn't Faustino become a rapper for a while? Wasn't he, wasn't he a white
yeah.
rapper?
All right, wait a minute. Now you're getting me back in.
That's what I'm saying.
He was a terrible
how
rapper.
How about DJ Bud Bundy? Then I want to see something.
Now I'm in.
Yeah.
I forgot how bad he was at rapping.
That's good stuff. And this is good news for me and my fellow geeks. TNT has announced, looks like they're putting together a TV series called Titans, based on the classic Teen Titans superhero team from DC Comics. This would take place pretty much, they say, around the New Titans era. You remember the New Titans when they came in, Kevin?
Oh.
The type of the New Titans.
Yeah.
The original
Titans. A couple
years
ago, yeah.
No, it wasn't a couple years.
Like 3 years ago?
80s was the New Titans era.
Yeah.
It's when Robin became Nightwing after he grew up.
And started, got radiation poisoning.
He didn't get radiation poisoning at all. He was Nightwing, and he was fighting alongside Starfire and Raven, Beast Boy, Cyclops, of course.
Don't understand that.
Wonder Girl was still part of the lineup.
Right.
Obviously.
Anyway, Teen Titans on TNT, I think it'd be awesome. I'd watch. Wouldn't you, Kevin?
I'm going to reserve judgment on that.
All right. Today's celebrity birthday is Joey Pants. Joe Pantoliano, great character actor, 63 years old today. Rush drummer Neil Peart, 62. Here's old Neil Peart now. Composer Hans Zimmer is 57 years old today. Louis C.K. is 47. 2 Chainz is 37 years old. Actor Benjamin McKenzie. You know him, of course, from Southland and soon to be seen in Gotham. Can't wait for that show. See, there's a comic book show, Kevin, you're looking forward to.
I am.
So don't poo-poo my Titans.
Oh, I just don't know anything about.
I heard a poo.
Did I poo?
You pooed.
I don't think I pooed.
Ben McKenzie's 36 years old today. Jennifer Hudson's 33.
Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Can I sing a song for you, Jay Hutz? Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz! Jay Hutz!
Have you ever heard anyone else call her Jay Hutz?
No. You know why? Because her name is Hudson with a D, not Hutson with a T, first of all.
Have you heard anyone call her that? Because I've never heard that anywhere except for at Beer Mug.
I have a hard D. Sounds like a T, maybe.
Nope. That was a T.
Emmy Rossum's 28 years old today. Where's the bell for Emmy Rossum? But there we go. Alfie Allen from Game of Thrones is 28. And Molly Torlov, Sadie from Awkward. She's 22. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. Week number 2 of the NFL happens, and Andrew Siciliano will be in the studio on Monday morning for a full recap.
Go Eagles!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's nothing like wearing another man's underwear, right?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
People, people, please, shut up.
Roll another one.
Penis.
Just like the other one.
Why do you use offensive
words? This one seems to be about to quit.
Where's the outrage there?
And I need another hit.
Why not me? This is America.
This is
Let me finish what I'm eating. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wrong time to eat.
Let me tell you something I know about the Negro.
Just pass it around.
Mitt Romney says no.
Tell me what it was like being in prison.
There goes the whistle.
Yeah, the quality's been lacking in the second half. Really has.
It's a long Friday. No work till Monday.
Well, there's no way out of this. I don't deserve this. You know, God damn it. I don't, but you do. Because you are all losers. Every mother one of you. Loser. Loser.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yummy.